Good evening. While my colleagues filter into the room, we usually do try to start very promptly at 7-8 p.m. in the Land Use Committee. So what I'm going to do is just take a moment to introduce myself, our staff, go over our protocol for the evening, and then we'll get started as soon as I have a quorum. Right now I do not. I'm missing one member of the committee needed for a quorum. So let me at least start off with how we proceed in this committee. My name is Mark Laredo. I'm a counselor at large from Ward 7. I chair the Land Use Committee. This is a regularly scheduled meeting of the Land Use Committee. We are being audio taped by our committee clerk, and there is someone here, I think, affiliated with one of the petitioners who's videotaping the proceedings. People have the absolute right to video or audio tape proceedings, so long as they're doing so in a public manner, and of course not interfering with the ability of anybody to speak. I'm going to introduce my colleagues. In front of me is Councilor Ruth Ann Fuller, my fellow Ward 7 Councilor at Large, not a member of the committee. Behind her is Councilor Susan Albright, Councilor Albright, the Councilor at Large from Ward 2, and also not a member of the committee, but a former member of the committee. To my immediate right is Councilor Jake Auchincloss, Councilor at Large from Ward 2 and a member of the committee, and behind him is Councilor Lyle Baker, President Emeritus of the City Council, Ward Councilor from Ward 7, not a member of the committee. I do know that my colleague Greg Schwartz, Vice Chair of the committee, is running late and will not join us till about 8 p.m. This evening. I have three members of the staff with me this evening: Rita Young from the Legal Department, Neil Cronin from the Planning Department, our committee clerk, Nadia Khan. So protocol for the evening, as you can see, we have a fairly lengthy agenda. And our plan in this committee is we try to start promptly and we try to finish promptly by 10 p.m. And I've said this repeatedly, but it's worth repeating. I think it's really important for us to try to do our work in a timely fashion, in a manner that allows all of you and us too, frankly, to get home at some reasonable hour, get some sleep, go to our day jobs the next day. I personally don't like to be and don't think it's good government to be having meetings at 11 p.m. or midnight as we're deliberating serious and important issues such as the ones that bring you out this evening. I think we do a disservice to you, frankly, if we do that. With that in mind, we try to keep our discussions focused in this committee. If you are a petitioner, it's very straightforward. You come up to the podium, you state your name and address, and you provide us with a brief presentation of your project. If you've received a planning department memo that indicates to you there's nothing wrong with this project, it seems very simple, take your cue from that. As they often say, the less you say sometimes is better. Certainly provide us with an overview, provide us with anything you think is important, but don't feel compelled to just speak if there's nothing to add from other than what's in the written materials. I'd ask that no petitioner be longer than 15 minutes, and I really say that at the outside. With what's on our agenda tonight, I don't think there's any reason, frankly, for anyone to be longer than 10 minutes or so. Once you're done, I will have an opportunity for our planning department to provide a brief overview on its views in the project. I then will take comment from any member of the public who wishes to speak on any project. You're all welcome to speak. We have some very simple rules if you want to speak. First of all, I'll call upon you. I'll ask for a show of hands. And I'll probably indicate to people on this side, starting the first floor, move up, and then we'll go to that side. Some simple process. Two, I'd ask you come up to the podium, you state your name, state your address, and then keep your remarks to 3 minutes or less, unless you've talked to me in advance. And I do that not because we want to stifle comments, but there's a lot of folks here, and it's really important that everybody gets heard. So the first person went on for 20 minutes. It's simply not fair to the other people who are waiting courteously in line. They need an opportunity to be heard as well. For anything complicated, we will not make our decision most likely this evening, which means two things. One, the public hearing remains open. And two, you're welcome to submit comments of any length To our committee clerk, Ms. Kahn. She does a superb job of making sure that all your comments get sent to all of us on the committee. I know we received a number of comments, in particular on one or two petitions that are before us this evening. Once I get public comment, I'm going to have an opportunity for my colleagues to speak, to ask questions, and then we'll either, if it's a more routine or simpler project, we'll try to actually vote the project out this evening. Our goal for as many of our projects as possible is to have you here one night and one night only. If there's something that's more complicated that needs more study, we typically will not reach our decision this evening, but we'll extend the public hearing until the next time we meet, and we'll try to give you that date this evening if at all possible. So with that, I've been joined by Councillor Deb Crosley, Councillor-at-Large from Ward 5 and a member of the committee. Ms. Young is my legal counsel. I only have three committee members here. Do you need to wait? You need to wait. All right. So I'm going to ask everybody to be patient as we wait for what I hope will only be another minute or two as our colleagues come in, and then we're going to get started right away. I will tell you the order we're going to start in is 308-16. That's Sarinda Dandani and Salini Sen. It's a request for extension of time. Who is hearing? Is there anyone hearing that petition? Colleagues, it's a simple petition to extend. We're going to have we're not going to have anybody present for that. And the next one after that is Timothy Leary's petition for an accessory apartment at Dorset Road in Ward 5. Is someone here for the Leary petition? All right. If you want to come up to the podium, at least get set up and ready to present, we'll take you up as soon as we get our quorum. We're going to get started right away then. So I'm just going to ask your indulgence if you can all wait for a couple more minutes. Hopefully we'll get started. Thank you. Thank you. Not getting my sympathies. How's that? Take a seat. All right. We've been joined by my fourth colleague for a quorum, Councillor Jim Cody, Councillor at Large from Ward 3. Councillor Cody, I've already given them the usual protocol. We're going to take up our first item, folks, which is a 308-16. It's a special permit petition to further increase the non-conforming setback of 79 Kenwood Ave. And this is a request for an extension of time to February 8, 2017. Ms. Kahn, do you want to just briefly explain what the basis for that is?
The public hearing for 308-16 was closed, and the item was recommitted to the Land Use Committee at a subsequent City Council meeting. Because the petitioner was unavailable for this evening's meeting, they are requesting an extension of time for the City Council to act.
Okay. All right. So all we're doing is protocol here. Councillor Crosley? All right. Councillor Crosley's moved approval. The rest of the committee, all in favor? Four in favor, none opposed. That's taken care of. You'll notify them, of course. Thank you. Next, good evening. 337-16, a special permit petition to construct an accessory apartment and garage at 41 Dorset Road, Timothy Leary. This is in Ward 5. And you, sir, are Mr. Leary?
Good evening. My name is Andrew
Ballstein.
I'm the architect of the
city. Councilor Baker, would you just help our Councilor Albright with the microphone, please? Thank you. We're not as technically up to date as we'd like. We're working on it. But our councilors are always ready to serve. Thank you very much. Why don't you start off again so we can just get everything for the record.
Good evening. My name is Andrew Falkenstein. I'm an architect and the petitioner for this project. We're here tonight to ask for special permit site plan approval for a one-bedroom accessory apartment in a detached three-car garage. We believe that the site is an excellent one for granting a special permit in this case, as it's a large lot over one half of an acre. It does only has two direct abutters, and the largest direct abutter would be the Green Line T and the Andrew School playing fields. Additionally, this lot slopes considerably down from the street, as much as 25 feet from street grade, so that the bulk of the mass of the garage would be well screened from people on Dorset Road. Additionally, the garage itself would be set back a full 70 feet from Dorset Road behind the mass of the existing single-family Tudor home. We believe there will be no adverse effect to the neighborhood, and we would be keeping all the mature plantings that are present on the property, and the owner has already engaged the services of a landscape architect so that he can quickly landscape after the new addition is complete. We believe, again, that this will be no nuisance to the community and an appropriate use of such a large lot and helpful to the community, and that it will allow the owner's parents to move in over the garage.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Planning, brief overview, Mr. Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Mr. Falkenstein noted, the petition before you tonight is to allow the creation of an accessory apartment in a detached structure accessory to a single-family dwelling. The architecture of the structure is that it has a ground floor area in excess of 700 square feet, and the detached structure has a dormer which is greater than the 50%, which is the maximum allowed by ordinance. Uh, When considering this petition, the Land Use Committee and City Council should consider whether the site is an appropriate location for an accessory structure with a ground floor area in excess of 700 square feet that contains an accessory apartment above the three-car garage. The proposed accessory structure will not adversely affect the neighborhood. The structure as proposed will not be a nuisance or create serious hazard to vehicles or pedestrians. And finally, access to the site or the streets is appropriate for the types and numbers of vehicles involved.
Okay, thank you. Is there any member of the public who's here to speak on this petition? I see there's lots of members of the public, but I suspect they're here for other matters. Anyone for this petition? All right, seeing none, let me entertain a motion. Well, before I entertain a motion to close the public hearing, why don't we just have any questions of a petition or a planning? I'll ask one more time if anyone wants to comment, and then we'll undertake that. Did you want to comment, Councilor Clausley?
Thank you. Yes, this is in my ward, right next to the Angel School, and I actually don't have any concerns or questions. I'd like to just make a comment that I think is a perfectly reasonable and straightforward proposal. They're proposing to put living space in a new structure up 5.4 feet from the property line, which I ordinarily would look at very carefully and question if it was next to an adjacent residential property, but it's next to the Anger School playground. And I think that makes it perfectly appropriate. I think it's sited very nicely and clearly subservient to the main structure. So at the appropriate time, I would move to close the public hearing and move approval.
Good, thank you. Others? Anyone else? Question, the existing structure, is it a one-car garage that is currently there?
There is no existing detached garage. There is an internal one-car garage,
right,
which is actually very difficult to access and which will be decommissioned and turned into storage space after the new garage is built.
And the reason for the three car is so you can put the third car for the accessory unit in storage. Is that the rationale?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. All right. Good. Anything from my colleagues? Again, any member of the public? Seeing none, Councilor Clausley, do you want to move to close the public hearing? All in favor of closing the public hearing? Four in favor, none opposed. Do I have a motion to approve? Motion to approve. Mr. Cronin, do you have a draft board order for us?
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
Again, we don't need to read this out loud, but why don't we all take a minute to go through the first finding and we can make sure we're comfortable with that or ask Mr. Cronin any questions?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question for planning. I'm not sure why we're mentioning the dormer as 50% wider than the exterior wall below. My impression, and tell me if I'm wrong, is that the dormer ordinance applies only to a third level on top of a otherwise two-story structure. So I'm just not sure that we need relief for that.
Why don't we consult our handy-dandy zoning code and find out? And, you know, if we're not clear on it this evening, what I suggest, Councilor Clausley, is we can put that language for now in brackets, and then if we need it, put in, otherwise take it out. Why don't we do this, Mr. Cronin? In the interest of time, I think the concern is let's not put something in as a finding if we don't need it. So if you would, between now and when the City Council meets, determine whether the dormer requirement needs to be met here or not. If you have an answer for that, please do.
If you look, Councilor Clausley, at Jane's zoning analysis memo, she mentions that Section 1.5.4G2B states that a dormer in an accessory structure may not be wider than 50% of the length of the exterior wall of the story below. We'll check that.
Okay, I stand corrected. So if it's different for an accessory structure than for the main house.
Okay.
All right, then let's leave it as is. Do we want to add anything in there that is that it's not directly abutting another structure? Is that another finding that we could make there? Is that okay with colleagues? I think it goes to Councilor Crosley's point that given how fairly close it is to the lot line, it makes a difference that it's a budding field, not another neighbor's property. All right, anything else in the first finding? Let's look at 2, 3, and 4, please. Any comments from them? Okay, any other findings, Mr. Corny? Okay, how about conditions? Anything unusual here?
No, just the standard conditions for accessory apartments.
All right, sir, is your client aware of the accessory apartment rules?
Yes, he is.
All right, they need to file not only the affidavit and do all the things now, but every year they need to be filing the affidavit as well?
Yes, and also aware that the things need to be filed with the registry.
Okay, good. All right, with that, I have a motion by Councillor Crosley. All in favor of approval? 4 in favor, none opposed. We've approved it as a committee. This goes before the full city council next Monday evening. There is no need for you to appear. You're welcome to, but you don't get an opportunity to speak. I would anticipate, I can't promise, that this will be voted on quickly. And if it is, you then have your typical waiting period, then you can ask any questions at all. Please talk to Mr. Cronin or Ms. Kahn. Anything procedural, they'll be happy to walk you and your clients through everything. Okay?
Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you, sir. All right. Next, what I anticipate almost everybody is here for, 392-16, special permit to amend, special permit 416-12, Friends 3, close friends at Modern Bar, Julia Williamson, Wally Zanoon. This is in 242-244 Commonwealth Avenue, Ward 7. Mr. McIntyre, are you presenting for the petitioner? Right. Let me at the outset just make a couple of comments so we can focus our discussion on this item. As I think you're aware, Mr. McIntyre, I suspect most others are as well. This is not the first time we've heard an issue relating to this particular site. This committee and this council voted a special permit several years ago for this site. More recently, at the beginning of this term, back in January, we were presented with a special permit application. We had spent considerable time working on it in the fall. It was refiled because we had a new term in January. We undertook discussion in January. We acted upon it in January. I'll remind my colleagues, we issued a special permit that was approved by the board. The reason there's a petitioner is back there now is because that permit was not exercised, as was entirely the prerogative, and they are now coming back seeking a different special permit. I did ask my colleague in the legal department about that because I wanted to make sure process-wise that was appropriate. I am told this is perfectly proper. They get to do it this way. But I really am going to add for you, Mr. McIntyre, whom we've spoken about it safely, but for more importantly, for anybody who wants to speak on this petition, please remember that we are well aware of this site. We've heard many, many good things about the owner of the site and the owner of Modern Bar, I should say, and what she has done in her studio and how it's beneficial for the clientele. I think we're all very aware of that. You're welcome to get up and say whatever you want, but I'm really trying to keep our comments focused. And so with that in mind, Mr. McIntyre, my memory is back earlier this year, we deliberated very carefully about the three conditions that you're now asking us to change. And so I'd really like you to tell us what, in your mind, changed since last time that should cause us to rethink what we did a number of months ago. And I've also understood that there's some potential changes. There has been a change in the occupancy of one of the two units, and there's potential changes in terms of the ownership. And I think it would be useful for the committee if we could share a little bit of information on both those. So go ahead, please.
It's in my talk. I have a handout.
Thank you. Thank you, Councilor Albright.
May I begin?
Please, go ahead.
My name is Lee McIntyre. I live at 607 Commonwealth Avenue in Newton. And I'm a philosopher, but I'm also the agent for this petition. I know that these remarks are usually made by an attorney or an architect and not a philosopher, but I'm still going to do my best tonight to represent the interests of my friend, Julia Robinson, and her business, Modern Bar. The first thing that I want to do is apologize. Why is this back in front of you? What's changed? Why should you even consider changing something that was already decided and approved? As you recall, a similar petition received a favorable vote of 6-1 from this body almost a year ago, and a 20-4 vote at City Council back in January 2016. That was Board Order 416, 12, 6, and 7, which was not exercised. I'm here today due to the fact that some of the conditions in that order were so unfavorable to the landowner's business interests that he could not exercise it. After that, Modern Bar was unsuccessful in its attempt over the summer to get a consistency ruling under the existing permit that would have allowed it to stay afloat. This has left us with no choice but to come back tonight and try to change the special permit that everyone put so much work into. The good news is that if you choose to build on the work that was already done in January 2016, I'm hoping that this can be a fairly straightforward matter. 99% of the conditions in the January 2016 board order we have no issue with. There are only three provisions where a small change in wording reflecting a new situation that I'll describe in a moment would help things along. Before I get to the merits of that, I would like to point out a few recent developments that affect the context of this situation. First, while this has been going on for the last several months, the landowner wanted to begin making site improvements as a good faith gesture in the hopes that the modified permit could go forward. But he was told by the city that he could not do this because it would exercise the permit and he'd need to get a new building permit. I want to point out, though, that the money for these site improvements outlined in the petition are ready to go. The money's already been put aside and a bid has been received and signed with a contractor to do the work, which is in your packet. This is to say that the site improvements are shovel-ready and could begin immediately upon approval of tonight's petition. Second, while this process has been going on, Ms. Robinson has drastically scaled back her business from the 11 students which she had previously approved to a cap of 3 in compliance with the existing permit. While she's been able to remain open, this has severely handicapped her business, and she's now experiencing real financial hardship. She's had to rent a swing space in Brighton to hold any classes that have more than 3 students enrolled. Before the weather turned, she held some classes outside in the public park, where for the first time in my life I was sexually harassed by someone driving by. She's also lost some clients due to the fact that this is a neighborhood business and some folks just don't want to drive all the way down to Brighton to the swing space. The consequence is that she's lost thousands of dollars per month while this matter has been pending, which she has embraced because she loves the space on Commonwealth Avenue and wants to serve the community of clients who live near it. Let me now turn to the merits of what we're asking you to consider. As you saw in the petition, I provided some suggested language to modify provisions 13, 14, and 21 in the 4, 16, 12, 6, and 7 special permits, the one that you already passed in January. I believe that these are win-win, not only for Modern Bar and the property owner, but also for the neighborhood, as I will now explain. I'm sure that some will still object, but I'd like to point out that I did reach out to the neighbors on numerous occasions to try to get their input and to make the case that what I'm proposing tonight is actually better for them than the January 2016 board order, which you've already passed. I believe it's also important to note that the previous neighborhood complaints about traffic, parking, and other matters were already considered and decided upon in that board order. What remains in question is the issue of whether the 3 small changes that we're asking for should overturn the Land Use Committee's earlier finding that Modern Bar's presence at the proposed level of intensity was, quote, not substantially more detrimental, unquote, to the neighbor's interest, as I think it is not. The changes that we're proposing to provisions 13, 14, and 21 do not in any way erode their interest beyond the restrictions already given in that board order. It preserves the site improvements, cap on the number of classes at 30 per week, cap of enrollment at 11 students with an average class size of 9. It forbids client parking in the back lot, allows for a 15-minute gap between classes, and stipulates that the basement will not be housed at third business. All of this is a result of previous concessions that were made the last time this matter was considered. Big picture, even with the changes to provisions 13, 14, and 21, Modern Bar would remain a small, low-impact business that is not substantially more detrimental to the neighborhood's interests. It would be closed, as you can see on the handout, 18 to 21 hours per day, despite the fact that the city has determined that there are 50 legal parking spaces for clients on Commonwealth Avenue. Modern Bar would only use 6 of these per hour, representing 12 hourly vehicle trips. This is a low-impact business. Now I'll talk about the specifics of the provisions. Provisions 13 and 14 in 416, 12, 6, and 7 pertain to the number of employees and customers who can be on site at any one time. This is where it says that no business in this space can have any more than 3 employees and 3 clients at once. It's important to note that this restriction is one that was brought forward from the existing permit, 416.12.3, which we're seeking to modify tonight. But in the January 2016 version, it has been extended far beyond its original purpose, for it now affects not just service use, but also office and retail use.
Mr. McIntyre, was the original order, did it limit it to service, or was it use that was brought forward?
The original order, number 3, 416.12.3.
The word use has been there consistently, correct?
It said service, it said 3+3 for service use.
No, I think this, 13 was brought forward. Are you saying we changed it?
Yes. 13 was brought forward to 416, 12, 6, and 7. It was changed from service use to any use.
Okay.
May I continue?
Please do. Just want to be clear.
No, okay. Sorry, my next sentence. To be clear, in the existing permit, it says that the 3+3 restriction exists only for service use. But in the one passed in January 2016, this was enlarged to any use. I'm sorry, that was your question.
It was. Thank you.
Given that Modern Bar is a service business and that provision 19 raises the cap to 11 clients with a 9-student average class size while Modern Bar is in place, one might think that provisions 13 and 14 shouldn't matter to Modern Bar, but in fact it presents a real barrier for Modern Bar to stay in place. This is because the attempt to substitute the 3+3 service use with a 3+3 any use restriction after Modern Bar leaves so encumbers the space that questions arise as to whether the space could be re-rented after Modern Bar left. I believe it goes without saying that changing this restriction to read any service use rather than any use so that it's in conformity with the existing permit and does not seek to go beyond that would not in any way have an impact on the neighborhood during Modern Bar's tenancy, since the provision doesn't come into effect until that tenancy is ended. Might that the requested alteration of 13 and 14 have an impact later? Yes, it might. But note that this impact would not be to increase the traffic in the neighborhood beyond what it's currently under in the current board order, which already dictates low-impact office and retail use and a cap of 3 customers and 3 employees on any service use. Note, too, that there is already a provision, number 12, in the proposed board order, which requires the landlord to return to this body to seek a new special permit if any future tenant anticipates use beyond that level of intensity. I believe provisions 13 and 14 in 416, 12, 6, and 7 therefore impose a very far-reaching limitation that has the self-effect not only of preventing increased future impact, but also of severely reducing the impact that already occurs under the current board order. In fact, it goes beyond the legally protected pattern of use that's given this property its legal non-conforming status. And as far as Modern Bar is concerned, it goes without saying that altering provisions 13 and 14 in the way requested would have zero impact on the neighborhood during Modern Bar's tenancy. I now turn to provision 21, which imposes a numerical limit on the business adjacent to Modern Bar during its tenancy. Here I refer you to the memo by the Planning Department, which explains that this limit was imposed during the last hearing out of concern for having 2 service businesses, Ruana and Modern Bar, side by side. So this is new. This is something that's changed. As is made plain in the planning memo, that's no longer the case. Elizabeth Home Decor and Design is the new tenant in this space, and it is very low-impact retail, not service. One might argue that it's still in the interest of the Land Use Commission to consider the total impact of the building, especially in light of any future tenants, when considering provision 21. And I believe that's reasonable. But I also feel that it's important to consider that the language we're proposing for provision 21 achieves the same goal of low impact. Imposing a numerical cap of 2 employees and 2 customers on the current retail business is a severe burden. It also ignores the fact that past complaints about this building violating its low-impact mandate have involved traffic and parking, which are most directly measured not by counting heads within the building, but by hourly vehicle trips. And please note that Provision 12 already limits both sides of the building to 12 hourly vehicle trips, which is 6 cars apiece. I would also like to point out to you that now that Elizabeth Home Decor and Design is a new tenant, the situation for the neighborhood has vastly improved, for its hours are almost exactly staggered with modern bars, representing only 1 total hour of overlap per week, half an hour one day and a half an hour the other. If the 2 businesses are not open during the same time, the combined impact of traffic and parking would obviously be minimal. Even beyond this, however, from a purely numerical standpoint, I believe it can be argued that the current position not only does not increase the impact on the neighborhood, but actually lessens it. Look, for instance, at the calculations in the planning memo, which you all received, which show that if the current petition is passed, the maximum number of occupants in the building is reduced not only from the special permit that you passed in January, but even beyond the current permit that's currently in place, which does not impose a numerical cap on retail or office use in either space and would allow 15 consecutive hours of operation per day. I believe that passing a new special permit would benefit everyone. Might I also point out that if the proposed petition is not approved and the existing one stays in place, this benefit will be lost. You would actually be increasing the potential impact of the building if you allowed the current permit to stay in place. Modern bar might easily be replaced by office or retail establishments. What if it someday becomes a drugstore, as it has in the past, or a marijuana dispensary? Let me finally turn to the matter of a significant concession that Modern Bar is now prepared to make. We're willing to give up the 6:15 a.m. classes that were such a bone of contention for the last consideration of a special permit. In consideration for that, we're hoping that we can keep the 30 classes per week, the 11 max and 9 average class size, and the alterations that we're requesting to provisions 13, 14, and 21. I'd like to point out that this concession is made on top of all the earlier concessions from the last go-around. The 6:15 classes are 2 of Ms. Robinson's most profitable classes, and the revenue will have to be made up by moving those classes to another time within the allowed hours of operation. No further concessions are possible, however, for this business to stay afloat. It's my hope, though, that this concession, on top of the other ones ensconced in the January 2016 special permit, will allow you to say yes to this petition. The changes, I think, are reasonable in light of the fact that the business next door is no longer a service business. The numerical calculations in the planning memo show that the expected impact of granting the petition is less than either of its 2 competitors, and the fact that we're no longer asking for extended hours in order to accommodate 6:15 a.m. classes. On the merits, I think there's a lot to make everyone happy. But I also recognize, as you said at the beginning, that there's a very real barrier to this petition that still exists, which is inertia, human nature. As I said at the outset, why should you even consider this petition? Didn't you already make a determination? How dare we come back with another proposal? I urge you not to indulge these thoughts. As public servants, your time and patience are routinely tested, and I apologize if I'm doing that by bringing this here tonight. I do, however, hope that in your role as stewards of the city, you recognize that there's an advantage, both for Modern Bar and for the neighborhood, in spending just a bit more time to clean up and fix this matter, which, as you can see, has generated so much public interest. A business is at stake, and refusing to consider the merits of how to keep this business open would, I think, be to leave on the table something that's very rare in city politics, which is win-win. I'm urging you to proceed with alacrity in your deliberations. As we know, there's been a lot of process on this issue, and an extended timetable, I don't think, serves anyone. We would be ecstatic if you vote tonight. In considering whether to do that, I hope you'll remember that you always have the option of a 1-year look back. When this body considered off-leash dog parks several years ago, a 1-year look back was a crucial tool in moving forward because it allowed the city council to worry less about anticipating every possible problem that could go wrong in favor of seeing how things might actually work with a clear set of expectations in place. For dog parks, the result was a stunning success. The city of Newton now enjoys one of the most successful and complaint-free off-leash programs in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. I believe that the same thing can result here. This business is a real community asset, and it's changed my life and the lives of many others here tonight. If you allow it to stay in business, I think you'll be surprised at the low impact and the improved community spirit. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McIntyre. Just a couple of quick questions for you. One, the conditions you're proposing that be changed don't affect your client, Ms. Williamson. They have to do with the landlord's ability to use the other portion of the premises. Is that right?
13 and 14 affect the space once her tenancy has ended.
Right.
However, if they're not granted, it's likely that the petition would not be exercised, so it would affect your current tenancy, but that's roundabout. I understand.
I think what I'm trying to drive at here, and I think I want to put in context,
yes,
you considered all of these issues back in January, raised by your predecessor. And where I'm struggling is we put the conditions on there. We listened extremely carefully to the petitioner. We were very sensitive to trying to help this business stay in business. The landlord chose not to exercise the permit. That's my understanding, that he didn't like some of the conditions that we put in here. Is that accurate?
With respect, I think that's accurate, but the context now has changed. But I think it's also important to point out that the reason he objected to certain of the provisions is that those provisions were added late in the process. And I believe that this commission did have some due notice that he had objected to. I wasn't involved at that point, but I think he did have some notice that he had objected to that and proceeded to vote anyway.
We have folks who object to conditions we impose all the time. I just want to note that because I want to be very clear for the record that this is, you know, we are on a clean slate here, and we're going to try to proceed that way. But on the other hand, I do not want members of the public thinking that this committee did not deliberate very carefully as it put these conditions in place. The landlord may not have liked what we put in, but we didn't do it without thought. Maybe our thoughts were wrong. I think that's what you're urging us, or maybe wrong is the wrong word. You think they should be changed. But I don't want people to think that they were just slipped in the last minute without any deliberation publicly. Quite the contrary, I actually think we debated this stuff a fair amount.
I hope you appreciate that I was not
well aware of
those conversations, but I do urge you to recognize that the situation has changed and that what might have been appropriate at that point may not be appropriate now, and I hope we are in a clean slate for that.
So let's focus on what's happened now, because I think the committee needs to know that as well. I apologize. I want to make sure the planning department gets an opportunity to speak. I want to make sure members of the public get an opportunity to speak, and obviously my colleagues. And we've been joined by President Scott Lennon, Counselor at Large from Ward 1, a member of the committee, and Counselor Jay Harney, Ward Counselor from Ward 4, and a member of the committee. Could you just clarify for us the state of the ownership of the property as it is today?
Yes.
Because I've heard conflicting things, and I think we ought to just understand
yes.
what we're being faced with. So if you could fill us in, that'd be helpful.
I'll fill you in to the extent of my knowledge. I learned after the petition had been filed, that the building is, I think, I'm not sure what the technical term is because I'm not an attorney. I don't know if it's called under agreement, but it's...
Is there a signed purchase and sale agreement? Does anybody... pardon?
There's an option, but it's not... It's a one-way option, and a sale price has been agreed upon, can't be changed, and it's a one-way option for the current tenant on the other side to exercise.
And do you know when the when it's supposed to be exercised?
March 15th.
March 15th?
Yes.
Alright, so if, I'm just trying to understand where we are. So if we grant this permit and March 15th comes and there's a new owner, what happens then?
The new owner is here tonight. I understand, I don't presume to speak for her, but as I understand from the conversation, she is willing to have Modern Bar as a tenant. May I cede the floor and have her answer?
Sure. I just think it's for edification because we're spending a lot of time as a committee on something, and it'd be helpful just to know where we are.
For anyone that I don't represent.
No, Ms. McIntyre, I'm just trying to get our full information before us. Good evening.
Good Good evening. My name is Elizabeth Benedict. I live at 137 Commonwealth Avenue, and I am the tenant at Elizabeth Home. I have gone into agreement with Wally to it's a lease to own the building with a one-year option. We absolutely intend to exercise that option, which is March 15th is the end of my lease.
And it's not my place to find out what you're dealing
generally
with the tenant, and if you prefer not to respond to that, please just say so. That's perfectly fine. I am trying to get some context to the committee.
So this has never been my dogfight. I've been very loosely briefed on what has been happening here over the last couple of years. When I first signed up for this lease, I was told that there was a petition out there, but Wally was not going to sign it. I said there is no way I would go through with my lease to purchase given the parameters that you were putting on my side of the building. I have had my business here in Newton since 2005. It went from my first location in my house in Thompsonville, then it went to my house now, and now I've grown into a block away from my house. It has been the perfect location for me and my family, as I have two young kids at Ward School. I have one at Bigelow and one at Newton North. I can walk there from my house. My business is growing, and it is my intention at some point down the road to have this be a single-tenant building. I plan on growing my building, my business, and taking that. In the meantime, I could use the tenant, as this is an organic growth. I don't have this big projected business plan out there as to when I will be ready to take over that next part. But, you know, in the last week, I've been approached by Mr. McIntyre. I've been approached by various lawyers. Again, this has never been my intention. I'm strictly now the tenant. So I'm not trying to mess up any business, but I'm also not trying to harm my neighborhood, and I sort of hear both sides, and I really wish that there could be some sort of compromise.
Would you indulge it if I, with your permission, colleagues, I just want to try to get some more facts out here and not in the memo. There's a fair amount of information in our memorandum. You may or may not have read it. The memorandum.
I've never even seen it.
All right. Well, the planning department talks a lot about your business and how many people it has and the level of use. And then from there generated some commentary about what an arts and crafts store might have for traffic. Have you had any opportunity to discuss any of that with the planning department?
No, not at all. And
all right.
To be very clear, I am not an arts and crafts store. I am a residential interior designer. I've been incorporated with the state of Massachusetts since 2005. I've continued year-over-year growth. I have a handful. Most of my clients are out of Newton, Wellesley, Weston, and parts of Boston. So as we grew into needing a design service or a design studio, we had a storefront. So we said, oh, great, we'll use this. It will become our design studio with a retail element. Certainly we're not. We don't advertise. We're in the Boston Design Guide, and that's it. We don't solicit business
Could I ask you, you may not have, and forgive me for doing this publicly,
That's not fine.
A petitioner, but I think it's useful for us. We have an order that we passed last January that Mr. McIntyre is suggesting needs certain changes in order for the current landlord to go forward. Do those changes need to be made for your business in order to operate?
I cannot operate with the tax that is put on me at this, or is with the petition that if he had signed it. I have three employees, and so that makes it four without one person stepping into my studio.
All right. So it seems to me, colleagues, and I want to hear from planning, and I want to hear from the folks here, but it seems to me that in order to carefully consider this petition, we have to have more information, and I don't want you to do it this evening. It's not fair to you. But we have to have more information that's conveyed, Ms. Benedict, is it correct?
Yes.
Through the planning department so we can have some idea of what the proposed intensity of use is on the site. I think that's always been something that we look at. I'm going to open it up to my colleagues' thoughts and comments on that. If you don't feel it's necessary, fine, but I, for one, really need, hold on a second, I need that information. So, colleagues, what do you all think on that? Councillor Albright?
I just want to say that when I read the Penn Department memo, knowing that this was an interior design studio, to have it compared to an arts and crafts shop like Michael's or something like that is ridiculous. And I was disappointed to see that kind of comparison, because I think that this could have been solved tonight if a more reasonable comparison had been found. It's more like a consulting business than it is an arts and crafts store. So, and it's a pity not to be able to move forward with this, because it is providing tremendous cost burden to everybody at this point.
Well, in fairness, we wrote a board order in this committee that we just spent a lot of time on. We have a new use next door, which is affecting the ability to work or exercise a permit. What I'm struggling with is I need to hear and understand what the needs are of that use so that we can try, if it's appropriate, to accommodate that and craft a board order that is sensitive to the petitioner's needs, sensitive to your needs, and sensitive to the neighbor's needs, all of which may differ a little bit. Hold on, Mr. McIntyre. Councilor Crosley.
So, thank you. I wonder if Mr. McIntyre, representing Modern Bar, can maybe in concert with the new or potential new owner, tell us definitively if the change in language will, and are you sure that it will, accommodate both businesses for the foreseeable future?
Well, the petition, Ms. Benedict hasn't even seen the proposed language yet.
So that's what I want. That's what I'm getting at, though. Is
to clarify this matter. I did share this petition. I don't think she's seen the planning memo. Well, okay.
No document. I've never seen it.
Okay. I had thought I'd email it to you. In any case, we did sit down and have a conversation the other day after I received some questions from planning. And I did provide the information on the impact of the business based on an interview that I conducted with Ms. Benedict. So that information is available. I don't presume to speak on her behalf. I'm glad she's here tonight. But those sorts of questions that were relayed to me from the planning office are in the record. They're shared with you, and my understanding is that the board order was created based on, at least in part, on those answers that were provided. The petition, the provision 13, 14, and 21 in particular, was crafted because of the burden on her business. That was one reason.
Go ahead. Sure, go ahead.
So I appreciate that. I think I also want to say I appreciate the incredible amount of work that you personally have done on behalf of this business. And, you know, we want the business to succeed, but it's very important that this interior design business owner has a very clear understanding of what it is you're doing. Because obviously the special permit runs with the land, but you're doing it for the current owner, not the future owner.
I understand. I learned exactly 1 week ago that this was an actual agreement to purchase.
You've been representing the landlord for how long?
A few months.
And he didn't tell you that he had an agreement to sell the property?
He said that he might sell the property. I didn't know that it was an agreement.
And he's not here tonight, obviously, right?
I invited him to be here. I don't know if he's here. I don't think he's here. He's ill this evening.
Is he here?
No, he's ill this evening. He's not here.
Well, we're not going to, you know, with all this fact, I have no doubt that you're trying to convey information accurately from Ms. Benedict.
Yes.
But I think for our purposes, we, on the planning department, really need to speak independently with Ms. Benedict. And we're gonna entertain comment this evening, but I'm not prepared to ask for a vote on this until we have some opportunity for Ms. Benedict to speak to planning. I want to look at this language very carefully. If we can solve the problems for all concerned, let's do it. I really don't want to hear this petition again in 6 months when something turns out to be unworkable.
I don't want to bring it again in 6 months.
So I think we're going to try to be very careful about that. With that, is there anything planning really needs to add at this point before I take some public comment?
I don't believe so, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Councilor Baker, did you want to say something before I hear from the public, and then go ahead.
I guess the question I have is that this petition is being brought forward by a tenant, and as I'm understanding it, on behalf of the current owner, is that your looking? McIntyre is representing the current owner as well?
The co-petitioner.
So are you representing the owner? You need to come up to the mic. I'm sorry, we're just trying to get some clarity here. It's not a matter of... We know you're doing... you're doing your best.
Yes, I understand. I represent the owner to the extent that he told me what he was interested in having to go forward so that he would be able to exercise the permit. I am not authorized to negotiate on his behalf.
And I'm just going to remind my colleagues that we don't... our nomenclature is we don't engage in negotiation. We listen to petitions. We try to do our best to craft conditions and solutions that work for everybody.
I can't make any concessions or changes on his
I understand that, and we appreciate that. That's helpful. Councilor Baker?
Yeah, I hope that by the time that the matter is taken up again, assuming your intent is agreed to by the committee, we can get clarity about the ownership and what the intentions are, because I think one of the issues that's raised is if there is a change in ownership, what the new use is going to mean in concert with this current use, and then what is its potential use in the going forward, because all of that is relatively new to the conversation, as I understand it.
Again, I'm just going to urge my colleagues, we want to get it right the first time. If there's somebody who is telling us today, 3 months before her date to exercise an option that she intends to do it, and she has an existing business there, and there's information about that business and how many people it has on site, how many customers it has, all of which then planning can look at and say, well, with this number of people, this is how many car trips you're going to get in a particular period of time. I think that's information that allows us to look at this properly and hopefully craft an appropriate resolution here that fits. So, Councilor Auchincloss, do you want to add something?
My question is, does planning feel like they don't have the information necessary to craft a bid order that would be executable by the next owner, according to the information you received about that owner, about that tenant?
I don't think we have enough about the design business to craft a board order, and then going forward, if Modern Bar was to leave, then the landlord would take over both sides of the building.
That's clarifying.
Okay. In other words, what I'm hoping we do is if we do something here and we craft it so it works for everybody, but a year from now or 2 years from now, Modern Bar is no longer there, 3 years from now, Ms. Benedict's taking over the space, we don't want to have her come back here. We want to have an order that would survive, that would work, that makes sense. So that's why the information is so important. With that, colleagues, does anybody have any other comments or questions for the moment? If not, who wants to be heard on this petition this evening? Just a show of hands, please. All right. I'm going to start off on this side of the room, this gentleman there. I think you're the one raising your hand, sir. Did you raise your hand? Yes, sir, please. And we'll work backwards, and come on up, please. Name and address in 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Marco Cereño. I live at 252 Commonwealth Avenue. I am a direct abutter to the petitioner. I'm not going to go over my comments on use, as I've made them many times in this committee, in my emails over the past 2 years. However, I've always proposed in finding a compromise for all parties involved, the petitioner, the direct abutters, and the neighborhood. And so this committee made a decision in January for all parties involved, and that the petitioner received the relief, the increased use. We got site improvements that would relieve some of the stress, and the neighborhood's concerns were addressed by limiting the site overall to to low-impact use. And that was great, until the landlord decided not to sign the permit, and so here we are again. So now the petitioner is kind of asking for increased use. We get the site improvements, and it's asking this committee to remove the site, the overall site use, rejecting the decision that you guys came up with in January. So what I'm here just to ask is that we just kind of, we look at the petition at its whole, think about compromise again, look at everyone involved, the petitioner, the direct abutters, the neighborhood, the possible new owner. So let's find a solution that will help the new owner, Modern Bar, the direct abutters, and the neighborhood find a solution that we can all live with. And that's it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next in this row, over there, please, a woman, just raise your hand, and then Kenny, you're next. Come on up, please. Just name and address, and just make your way through. Do the best you can. Good evening.
Good evening. Hello, everyone. My name is Skye Shirley. I live at 50 Crosby Road, where I've been living and voting and just enjoying my time in Newton for the last 5 years. I teach at Newton Country Day School. I'm very much active in my local community. And for me, Modern Bar is really it's such a blessing to the neighborhood because I don't have a car like a lot of UC students or people living in this area. You know, we're relying on the T to be able to get to, you know, some sort of exercise class. However, the T isn't necessarily very close, and the B line is slow. So it's really nice to be able to have a way to work on physical activity within a community of supportive people. I think also one of the things that's most important to understand about Modern Bar is how many people are walking to class. And that's something that I really love about the community. We're focused on exercise, not just within the class, but also as a way of commuting. So I can speak for myself. I've gone to classes at many different times of the day, and I have never worried about crossing the street. I mean, I look both ways because my mom told me to, but I certainly do not need to. It's a very, very safe walk. I cross Crosby. I walk along Comm Ave. I cross Manning. So really, it's a great community, and I really don't want the overall feeling to be anything other than support for a community leader and for a woman in business who's giving so much to our neighborhood. Thank you.
Thank you. Julie, come on up. Kenny, you're next. After you. Good evening.
My name is Tony Clout Mahoney. I live at 33 Irving Street, Newton Center. I've been a client of Modern Bar for quite a few years, as have other members of my family. I just really want to quickly shout out, first of all, Julie's tremendous focus on etiquette. When we come to the studio, when we leave the studio, constant reminders about parking and insurance and being a good citizen. She takes it very seriously, and she presses it upon us in class and through email. And secondly, just a little temple manual. People move to our neighborhood because they like the vibrancy of city life. And just a shout out that this business is not inconsistent with the rest of the neighborhood and the rest of, frankly, the uses of Commonwealth Avenue, the marathon, the walk for everything all the time. It's why we live in Lincoln and we don't live in Lincoln and other very quiet towns. Thank you.
Kenny, come on. Others on this side of the room, quick show of hands after Mr. Parker speaks. Anyone else on this side of the room? Yes, if you'd speak after him, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Good evening. I'm Ken Parker of Parker T.O. LLP, 51 Winchester Street in Newton Highlands. First of all, just to pick up on the thread of conversation, Councillor Albright's point earlier that the second first floor use is much like a consulting business, which would make it a service use, would make it prohibited under the proposal you've got before you tonight. The proposed language in paragraph 21 reads, and the second floor tenant shall be limited to an office or retail use. with low parking demand turnover that does not generate more than 12 vehicles per hour. So right now, what's before you, what's been proposed, is incompatible with the existing use of the second tenant on the first floor. I just point that out to point out this really isn't ready to be taken up tonight, as I think everyone has figured out. There's just a few points that I want to make. I'm not going to repeat all of the concerns about light and noise and honking of horns and U-turns in the driveway and blocked driveways that we've had discussed in the past in great detail. Simply to say a couple of things. First of all, the relief, and I think the chairman alluded to this, the relief that is sought tonight is identical substantively to the relief that was sought back in January. And Mike first stood where I'm standing right now and said, we don't want these conditions 13, 14, and 21. They were slightly differently numbered because there was a renumbering. And he said, we don't want them. And the chairman said, well, you don't have to exercise the petition. We think it's a balancing of the overall impact of the site. Because as was pointed out, the existing special permit allows three customers or clients in each of the two spaces. The permit that was sought wanted to increase that to 12. And the one that was granted increased it to 11. And the theory that, and I think Councillor Schwartz and I believe Councillor Fuller talked about this a lot, was the idea that you would be reducing the overall impact of the site, and thus the idea was that you would limit the other site. And by the way, we wanted it to be two customers and two employees on the other side of the second floor. So the whole idea of how this works is a very intense use on half of the first floor. The core of the package was the balance with the whole building working together. It's a very small building. There's like something like 400 square feet in this space here, and the idea that this many people would be coming and going to this small space sets really a precedent that I think is unprecedented in the city in terms of intensity of use on a small site. Now, I would say my client was not thrilled with what the committee ultimately came up with and what the board ultimately passed, but there were, by the way, some very close votes on the floor of the board of the council on amendments to the petition that would have reduced some of those impacts, so it wasn't just a 20-4 overwhelming margin on those issues at least. But in the end, my client at least had closure. Said, okay, I'm going to live with this. They're going to operate at this more intense level. They're going to make the site improvements. Well, remember, at this point, the businesses had already operated illegally on the site for a number of years. At that point, it then, under the new permit, was able to operate at this higher level of intensity and with the understanding that in a few months' time, the site improvements would be made. Well, they got the 6 months of more intense use, and the site improvements were never made. And now I hear tonight, well, the owner of the property, Mr. Zaynoun, didn't think he could make the site improvements without a permit. Well, nothing stopped him from planting arborvitaes before, from putting up a fence, from taking down a fence. The idea that he couldn't do these site improvements when he's in writing, already said he's not going to exercise the permit, is preposterous. Of course he could make site improvements. He'd already had a fence there and taken down the fence. So is he arguing that he couldn't put the fence back up again that he'd had there previously that was around the parking area? It doesn't make any sense. He'd already been plantings on the site. So the package was a compromise based on the total intensity of the site. And by the way, the core benefit that I said to my client at the end of the process, well, at least we got this. At least you got some peace of mind about the future use of the site, that if they want to do anything intense, they're going to have to come back for a new special permit because we got conditions 13 and 14. And conditions 13 and 14 didn't kick in as my friend Lee from Mr. McIntyre said. They didn't kick in, they weren't relevant to the modern bar piece of this place. Of the site immediately because they were overridden at least temporarily by those higher numbered paragraphs while the fitness use was in place.
Do you want to wrap up, please?
Yes, I will. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. What they did do is give some peace of mind that if a new intense use came in that was going to be more than three employees and three customers on either side of the site, that they'd need to come back to the council.
At this point, it just doesn't make sense with a new owner coming in potentially in the next couple months to put a permit in place before she's got an architect, before she's got her new plan, and the neighbor has to go through this again. Please don't keep putting us through this time after time. Deny this in its current form or ask them to withdraw without prejudice and come back in a couple months after the new owner is in place and who's someone who will show up and be accountable unlike the current owner.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments. Ma'am, next staff, please come on up. The gentleman after that, if you want to come up, please, sir. If you could just queue up behind her, that'd be great. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Sarah Winchester. I live at 254 Commonwealth Avenue. You've seen me up here before. Like everyone, I'm very anxious to resolve this, and so I just wanted to say a couple of my points because I don't know if this goes on any further, how many more babysitting hours I can devote to this. I just want to, as we're looking at more intense uses on the Mott and Embarque side, I do want to point out the usage of the modern bar service is at nights and weekends, and that's when it affects us most. We're not home during the day, we're at school, we're at work, but their usage of more clients is on nights and weekends. It has been a welcome relief the past month or so when they've gone to adhering to the permit, but not having 16 cars up and down the street. And I also wanted to respond to the statement from the proposal from Mr. McIntyre saying no, numerous efforts had been made to contact the neighbors. I received one email, and I think I explained in my email to you all why my husband and I did not feel comfortable responding to that. So please consider that and the other points I made in my email when you're considering this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Come on up, sir. Good evening.
My name is Matt King. I live at 287 Nahontan Street, but for 38 years I lived on Commonwealth Avenue at 267, which is right across the street. And very briefly, I'm only here to speak as a neighbor, not as someone who goes to the bar. Probably should, but I haven't.
Not common in those kind of things here this evening. So go ahead.
Just a historical perspective as a neighbor across the street. I think probably many of you are aware that there used to be a nursery school that abutted where this building is. And for many, many years, there was an enormous amount of traffic there. So when the nursery school moved, I think it's the Teddy Bear Nursery School that moved down to Comm Ave, and the use on the site right now, and I moved in May, so I've been there for quite a while when the studio was there, it's fine. I mean, when I hear about the intensity of use, this is compared to what used to be on Comm Ave when the nursery school was there next door. It's very, very, very limited use from my perspective as a neighbor. So thank you.
Thank you, sir. Come on up, please. Anybody else on this side of the room? All right, we'll start on this side after that. The gentleman in the second row just raised his hand. If you just go to the back, please. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Marita Kressler, and I live at 79 Manette Road. Councilors, many months ago, Councilor Baker advised this body to deal with this matter as a land use issue and not get involved with the machinations of particular tenants and landlords. Councilor Baker's wise advice was not heeded, and unfortunately, we are all still dealing with this tenant-landlord issue. The tenant, Modern Bar, wants to operate a business. While it is a great location, it is not conducive to the operation of a profitable business where there are constraints in place that are exactly meant to protect the neighborhood from commercial overuse. And we have a landlord, Wally Zanoon, who uses every means, including previous and current tenants, to improve the resale value of his property by trying to have all constraints amended for his benefit. The neighborhood should not have to deal with any extension of hours or any increase in customers for the sake of both a tenant and a landlord who have continuously flaunted their disdain for the current special permit restrictions. I am firmly against and respectfully request that this special permit before you be denied. I thank you for your attention.
Thank you. Come on up, please. Any other folks from this side of the room? Just a show of hands. Anyone else? Good evening. Go ahead.
Good evening. My name
is... Don't take lack of participation as lack of interest. Don't be forewarned. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good evening. My name is Scott Farmelant. That's spelled Farmelant. I'm here as the spokesman for Julia and Martin Barr. I live in Melrose at 3 South Cedar Park. We're here tonight, and I had the pleasure of sitting in this room about a year ago, a little bit more, for a few hearings. We're here tonight because the process did not serve anybody very well. The process that this started in this committee somehow morphed from a proposal to extra conditions that were clearly not suitable to the landlord, clearly remaining division. So this impacts Julia. She's limited to 3 customers at a time. That's a 73% reduction from what you approved in January. No business can exist like that. So in effect, the inability of this committee to bring all the parties together and hammer something out has harmed a business, a very good business, a very reputable business. Really, she's wonderful. Tremendously wonderful. And we've left the neighbors who don't want this use happening in a bad spot, too. The parties need to be brought together. The resolution needs to happen. It seems to be in place on January 12th of this year. But by the time the full council voted on February 1st, something had changed. And that's just unfortunate. It shouldn't happen. Thank you.
I'm going to be very clear on the record on something. My recollection, and my colleagues are welcome to correct me, that you did not make any changes on the board, on the floor of the board. Am I correct, colleagues? We made changes in committee, so I want to be very clear, because I think it's important for the record, that this committee deliberated very carefully. We must have had 6, 7, 8 meetings on this one petition, and we crafted our board order with care. Doesn't mean we shouldn't change it. Doesn't mean we didn't, might want to look at circumstances differently. But I don't want anybody leaving here with an impression that somehow something was done on the floor of the board in the last minute that was, you know, something that was incorrect and not discussed publicly. And again, my colleagues are, if my recollection's different on that, if anyone's different, you're welcome to correct me. All right. Any other member of the public who wishes to be heard? All right. Seeing none, colleagues, I'm going to suggest that we do 2 things. One, we leave the public hearing open. 2, I'd like to get this, I think it's only fair to the petitioner to try to do this as promptly as possible. Our next meeting is January 10th. We have a very full agenda that night, but I think we ought to hear this petition that evening. I don't want to delay it anymore. It's not fair to the petitioner. It's not fair to members of the public. What I'm hoping we get between now and then, I've asked the planning department to meet directly with Ms. Benedict in the next few days, a week at the latest. And I'd like, hopefully before the new year, if possible, Mr. Cronin, if not, certainly well in advance of our hearing, I think we need to know exactly what the actual use of this petitioner is. Because we're not acting on full information. And we have an existing board order. We have a board order that was crafted and approved back in January. If we need to deviate from that order in order to facilitate the needs of the new potential new owner and keeping in mind the concerns that we tried to deal with back in January, trying to balance all the competing interests here, I'd really like some very carefully worded language, Mr. Cronin, that would help us do it. I'm going to ask that you try to communicate that language with Ms. Young, who's our legal counsel. I'd like to see that language given in advance to the ward counselors. I'd like to make sure Mr. McIntyre and any other interested neighbor has an opportunity to look at that language in advance. We'll try to post it if appropriate. We can do that. Because I want you to be fully informed, and I want to see if we can work on something that makes sense. With that, one other question, and then Councilor Baker. I've heard from that this is a retail use. I've heard from someone else
that the design use now is a service use. I'd like some clarity on that as a matter of law. Which is it? I think we need that information so we can do our job properly here. Councilor Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Because I may not be able to be here that evening, I just want to mention that part of the challenge this particular provision, this special permit request poses, and you quite properly point out there's quite a bit of history here in the committee recently, but also beyond that, is that we're dealing with a non-conforming use in a residential zone. This isn't just a commercial use in a commercial zone. So part of the challenge that the whole application involves, and I think it's important the public understand this, it's not just about a specific tenant. We're crafting an order that really goes to what the property can be used for, and there's been an historical effort to try and limit the nonconformity here to the minimum necessary to allow a business to operate, but also to protect the neighborhood that surrounds it, because it is an outlier. It is not part of the general zoning framework for that area. So I think one of the concerns that I have is that we have a potential new owner, not just an owner in the sense of buying the property, but in the sense of taking over the property and using all of it, is to understand the long-term impact of that and how long is Martin Barr was the initial petitioner here. But what I'm hearing is that there may be a new owner in the wings who may take over the property and change, and Martin Barr will disappear. I don't know the full scope of that, but I think that we're in a curious situation where we have a tenant petitioning on behalf of someone who is an owner who is not here to speak for himself, and a potential new owner who's the opportunity, who has an option, but the option still has to be exercised and the ownership rights mature. So this is going to pose a real challenge between planning and law to get something that clarifies what is likely to happen as well as what should happen, but all in the context of a non-conforming use in a residential zone.
And Councilor Baker, I thank you very much for your reminder of the standard we're supposed to use. I'd also ask, as you especially take into account Councilor Baker's reminder of what our legal standard of operation is, that whatever language we craft is language that is readily enforceable and understandable. And by that I mean, at least in my mind, numbers are easy. If a tenant knows that he or she can have 8 employees versus 4 employees versus 6 customers versus 3 customers, that is much easier to obey and honor than a standard that says you shall have no more than X number of car trips per hour, which in turn is based on estimates, which frankly, in my mind, is an unenforceable, ununderstandable standard. And we don't want to be in a position where the tenant thinks it's one thing, or the owner thinks it's one thing, a neighbor thinks it's something else, and we have conflict. So to the extent we can use our wisdom and your expertise to craft with precision here, I think we're going to be doing ourselves a service. Councilor Fuller.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. A couple of comments. I don't serve on land use, so some of what you talk about gets a little technical, a little arcane for me.
Well, I always help you to trade off as you'd like.
But big picture, what was so attractive about what Mr. McIntyre proposed was that the classes were fairly limited and the number of people in them were fairly limited, and that when the classes would occur didn't overlap with this particular tenant. On the other side, I still think of it as Ruan. I apologize, I don't know the name of your new business. So that the intensity that was going to happen in the building fit very well with what we passed in January 2016. So I think Lyle Baker has it right. We should be looking at the building, regardless of who owns it and regardless of who the particular tenants are, and we should have an understanding whether you measure it in terms of number of people or number of cars, but given this location with lots of parking on Comm Ave, but completely surrounded by residential, at least on that side, the other side's a little bit different with the reservoir and stuff, how many people or cars can work well in that neighborhood without it being more detrimental? I'd be interested in understanding whether you can use number of vehicles that are coming or if it has to be number of people. You thought that people was more enforceable than cars. I'm not quite sure I know enough to agree with you or disagree with you. That might be worth discussing a little bit tonight, because otherwise we'll be back on January 10th with, if there's some agreement in the committee, how it should be measured and which is more enforceable. That would be useful. I also would, again, not serving on land use, to me, I'm not sure I really care if it's retail, service, or office. Again, it's how many people or cars are showing up rather than what the nature of the business is inside. But again, maybe I don't understand it enough, and if I knew more, I would really care what the use is. But I don't think I do. Again, I also, this compatible use was lovely about what was being presented tonight, but we have to think about future uses and what the total maximum is at any particular time. Does that help?
It is, and I think we have to keep those comments in mind along with the comments from Councilor Baker, reminding us that we are dealing not with a brand new use but an existing non-conforming use, and the legal standard that we must apply when we do that. I'll ask Ms. Young, does it make a difference, or Mr. Cronin, number of estimated vehicle trips versus number of employees and customers? I think number of employees and customers is typically based on estimates of trips, but if you want to comment on that.
Well, no, as you appreciate, the difficulty you have is identifying whether that particular vehicle that's passing by or parking in front is attached to this particular business, and that was a debated point, as I recall, in the original discussion that we had. And it's great to try to quantify it. Going out and actually doing a count from the enforcement is hard. It's not that easy when you've got the number of people as well, because you're not going to send inspectional services out on a daily basis to count noses as they come in and out, and they're not going to be there for the full time that the business is in operation. So either way, there are some problems with it. Again, it's a little easier to understand when you talk about numbers of people physically present on site at any given time than it is to identify the number of car trips. But the car trips are what you're trying to capture in terms of the impact on the neighborhood.
My memory is that when we, for example, deal with restaurant use, for example, or other types of use, we look at number of employees, we look at number of patrons, and we use that and then are able to do some calculations or rough estimates. Respectfully, I think it's just easier for a petitioner to just know what the number is. I think, Mr. McIntyre, if you want to respond, you may.
I just wanted to clarify the reason that I proposed the particular solution that I did in Provision 21, which is I wanted to bring some calm to this situation. I wanted to bring some calm to the neighborhood. Their complaints in the past have been about traffic and parking. So I think that the most direct way to measure that is through traffic and parking. I understand that you could use the number of people in the building as a proxy for the cars, but one thing I think, given my experience working with dog parks and how contentious that got, Mr. Parker mentioned it earlier, was the sense of closure, the sense that the neighbors should not be put in the position of having to be the enforcement arm of the city for the occupancy of these buildings. So if I think that cars are easier to measure. Cars are easier to measure from outside the building. And I don't think that it serves the businesses, I don't think that it serves the neighbors, for the neighborhood to feel that they have to look in the window to see how many people are in the building. I just think that's not fair to anyone
I live on Comm Ave. I live across the street from businesses. I don't want to be monitoring how many. If I think there's too much traffic, or I think they're violating their permit, I don't want to have to look in the window and see how many people they have in there. I want to complain about the cars. It seems to me that cars and traffic are measured by cars and traffic. That's a layperson's opinion, but I'm also a neighbor.
In my view, I guess my view on that, and I'm not going to have back and forth debate, I don't know how you measure the number of cars parked in the street and attribute them to one use versus another. They could be parked at a number of places. Personally, folks, for what it's worth, I like the fact that if this tenant's the one in there, she knows she can have three employees or two employees at one time and nine patrons to do the count. And it's pretty straightforward. I just think it's easier, and we're going to act on the assumption that everyone's going to try to honor and obey a special permit. So if that's the case, I think, personally, I think we're better off with that. I want to hear from my colleagues. If you differ, Councillor Baker, Harney, and then Fuller. And we've been joined by Councillor Schwartz, Vice Chair of the Committee.
I'm not a member of the committee, Mr. Chairman, but I agree with your general sense about trying to have things that are measurable and enforceable. I just want to be clear. My understanding is that the special permit that is currently outstanding, not the one we voted, which is never exercised, but the right. special permit that's currently outstanding limits the number of people who can use the site at that point to three at any one time. And I think it's really important that any potential purchaser, and I've heard of, sounds like the new business is a successful one, but I've also heard that may get to the point of even exceeding, even now, the limits in the special permit. And if the current owner came forward with that tenant again in violation of the special permit, I think that's not a good practice to have. We really ought to have these permits enforced as drawn, and then if we want to modify them because we think there's good cause and it's not substantially more detrimental, we should do that. But I'm concerned that we have a tendency that may or not be in compliance. If it is, then great. But if it isn't, then that doesn't set us in a good pace to be trying to make an adjudication. So I hope that can be clarified as part of the work that's going forward.
Thank you, Councilor Baker. Councilor Harney, and then Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Although he's not a member of the committee, and I was not fortunate enough to have him for a professor in law school, I always appreciate Councilor Baker's input, especially on land use issues. I listen intently when he speaks, and I have to agree with a lot of what he's been saying. I think that sometimes we're put in a difficult position, and more often than I like to see, we have tenants of a building coming before us making the arguments on why a special permit should be granted. And as Professor Baker, Councilor Baker said, this is a land use issue. We're determining a special permit on what type of uses should be permanently put on a piece of property, for instance, in this case. And I mean, no disrespect to Ms. Williamson or Ms. Benedict, and they're obviously, you know, terrific business people. And I'd like to find a way we can come to some type of compromise. But the bottom line is, and I remember, what was it, 2012 maybe, way back when we heard this, I had a lot of real serious issues about during the discussion about what was going to go in there, because we were looking at voting on a special permit based on a specific tenant at the time, I believe, you know, and you know, we have to be careful, and I don't know how we arrive at some type of compromise where we can consider the applicant and where we consider the possible tenants while also protecting the neighborhood and allowing a use that's appropriate for the area. So, you know, I don't have the answers, which is why I always like to listen to the discussion here. But as some of the neighbors have said, it is getting a bit tiring to keep coming back on this over and over again. And I'll continue to listen to the discussion. And thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Harney. Councillor Fuller?
I'm wondering if Rita perhaps could talk about whether we as a city councilor or a land use committee should care about retail versus office versus service, or should can we just concentrate on how many people are in the building? That's actually very difficult. I mean, the distinctions that are made between retail and office and services, that even if there's the same number of people who are present on the site at any given time, the nature of those uses often lead to more people coming in. For example, a medical office is a service, you know, they call it an office, but it's a medical office, and you're going to see a number of people coming and leaving and coming and leaving at a frequency basis, as opposed to another sort of office where people will come at one point and have a client who comes in and leaves, but by and large the workforce is staying there pretty consistently. So it's difficult to quantify. You're using these all as proxies, at least in this case, because what you're talking about is the intensity of use, and you may be more concerned then about the actual number who are physically present at any given time, as opposed to whether it's an office or a service or a retail.
Okay. Councilor Auchincloss, that you all set? Councilor Fuller? Okay. Councilor Auchincloss?
So to that point, to Councilor Fuller's question, we wouldn't have to care about retail versus commercial if instead of trying to calculate the number of people, you just calculate vehicle trips, to Mr. McIntyre's point, which is the reason that you care about retail versus commercial is that it's a coefficient for number of people. So we can just stop using those as a proxy and think about the vehicle trips. And so on that point, I know the chair is dubious about using that. I'd just be curious to hear from the planning department how feasible you think it is to use vehicle trips directly as opposed to using people on site and not have to worry about the use at all or the number of people on site.
I think that's tough to say because you don't know how many people get out of the car. So car trips is a different effect on the neighborhood in terms of parking and an effect on the street, whereas people could be accessing from different modes of transportation. So I think that is something I can't answer at this point.
Well, that's exactly the point, is that, again, back to Mr. McIntyre's point, it's really the problems about parking and traffic, so let's measure parking and traffic as opposed to the number of people maybe who walk there or...
But the problem is how you, I mean, it's an enforcement issue. How is a petitioner ever going to measure that?
How is the, but what we don't want is a system of neighbor enforcement where they're having to actually look in the windows, as again, Mr. McIntyre said. We don't want to put that burden on them.
So how are they supposed to enforce vehicle trips?
That's exactly the question I'm asking the planning department. Is that possible to enforce? Are there standards that are out there that...
Well, only if you had a freestanding building that had no other neighbors around it, you could figure out who was coming to use that building. But otherwise, it could be visiting somebody else in the neighborhood. You have no idea what they're there for. It could be parking for BC. I mean, I think that's the problem, Councilor Auchincloss.
I don't necessarily share the pessimism that it's that much harder to do that than it is to investigate the number of humans on site there.
I think we're overestimating the abilities of our inspectional services department.
It's going to be complaint-driven regardless.
It is. The difference is, I think, if I'm an owner, I know how many employees I have, and I know how many people are in a class at one time, and I can measure that and abide by that. That's my view. We're entitled to differ. Councilor Lennon?
I only just wanted to know, you made my point in your last point. I'm concerned about vehicle trips. I mean, when we license restaurants and things like that, we go by occupancy. We go by what can be in the building. Right? It is one use. I understand that. But we don't do it by vehicle trips. We do it by how many seats are in there. Are a max, not even seats. It's based on seats or it's based on maximum occupancy of a building or a space. So I'm concerned about the vehicle trips because as the chair said, how is that enforced? I don't know how that would be enforced. And I'm not asking the neighborhood to do it.
I've got Councilor Cody, Councilor Albright, and then folks with respect, I'll take Councilor Schwartz. I think it's a very fair question. We can have differences of opinion. I think we ought to let the planning department try to work and perhaps come up with alternative modes, either a vehicle trip language or a customer-based or use language, and then we can have at least a couple of alternatives we can consider. If that works for people, Councillor Cronin?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I agree that I don't think it's going to be resolved this evening, so we might want to take it back to planning and work on it. But one other thing that my colleagues bring up all the time that I want to bring up in this case is that we're always encouraging activities, businesses, residences, et cetera, that minimize the use of automobile traffic. And I would think that if we have a neighborhood presence such as this that encourages more walk-in and drive-in, I think we're accomplishing some of the goals that I hear my colleagues speak of all the time, that we need to try and change the way people think about how they go to work out, how they go to shop. And in this case here, it's a nice little neighborhood presence. It's not overwhelmingly large. It's not a gymnasium. It's not a workout world concept, but it's a small little workout modern bar center that people can go into. They can walk there, and it's useful to the neighborhood, and it serves the purpose of reducing the vehicle traffic.
Okay, thank you. Councilor Albright and Schwartz.
So I realize I'm not on the committee anymore, but I think that most frequently what we deal with is vehicle trips. I mean, the book that the planning department uses is all about vehicle trips by type of business. And when restaurants come to us, they're asking about parking waivers most likely. It's for business restaurants over 50, that's what they're concerned with, is parking waivers. And what the neighbors are concerned with is traffic and parking. I don't think they care if it's, you know, how many people are in the building. I mean, of course, you don't want 50 people in the building, but what they're concerned with is the impact on their neighborhood with respect to traffic and parking.
So how do we measure that, Council?
Well, I think that's a problem for all of land use issues that we have. I mean, this is not different from most other projects that we rule on where we give parking waivers, and how can, you know, we deal with that in Newton Center all the time, that we've given too many parking waivers. So this is not uncommon, this question that you're asking.
I think, though, the way we typically do it is we have, based on standards that the planning department can access, we say that a restaurant of a certain size is likely to generate a certain number of vehicle trips.
That's right.
And then we say, okay, we are estimating that, so we're going to give you a limit on the number of people you can have. We don't ever say to a restaurant, you can only have 30 vehicle trips.
We don't limit the people. They come to us for a restaurant for a permit over 50. They don't come to us for under 50. Over 50, we don't say, okay, you can have 65 people. That's based on the occupancy as defined by the people who deal with occupancy based on building size. We deal with parking waivers.
We dealt with Village Cafe, for example, and my specific memory is we had a cap on the number of people who could be in there at one time, and that we had to deal with that. So we did that as a special permit. Am I correct, President Lennon? We spent a lot of time in Village Cafe. No, I know you spend a lot of time in Village Cafe, but we all love our neighborhood institutions, but we struggled with that one.
I think this is an interesting issue for the planning department, but I resonate very clearly with Mr. McIntyre's comment that we don't want the neighbor standing at the window counting how many people are in there.
If we say you can have 12, I'm just posing the question, you can have no more than 12 vehicle trips per hour. Who's going to measure that? How are you ever going to measure that?
Well, you have the same problem with counting people.
No, you don't. I know how many people. I'm the owner of the place. I know how many employees I have at any one time. In a modern bar, I know how many customers I have. Period. I schedule a class with one or two instructors and 9 patrons. I'm done.
Okay, well,
I'm just asking the question.
From my perspective, it's traffic and parking that's a problem for the neighborhood. And I would just add, and I know I've said this before, and I also won't be here on January 10th. I'll be out of the country. But as you all know, that used to be a real estate office, I believe, on one side, and a drugstore on the other side. And so it was an intense use in its day. And this is much less intense than those days.
Okay. Thank you. And, you know, it's a very valid point you make about that. Clearly, Councilor Auchincloss agrees with you. Maybe I'm the only person in the committee who feels otherwise. Probably won't be the first time or the last. Councilor Schwartz and then Baker, and then I'm going to exercise my discretion to try to shut us off for the evening.
Usually you try to shut us off before I speak, so I appreciate that.
You know, that's not fair, Councilor Schwartz.
I know.
Let everyone
I
was
being facetious.
First, I just want to apologize. I had a middle school orchestra concert to attend, which my daughter was in, so forgive me for missing the discussion. It was terrific. And I'll also preface my comments that I'm basing some of my thoughts on, obviously, the memo and the permit in front of us, but before the permit was filed, I did accept a meeting with Mr. McIntyre and listen to his ideas when he said that he was thinking of trying to fix this. So, but I'll tell you, the question about parking, like number of vehicles versus number of occupants or students, I think is an important one. It's very interesting, the discussion is from a policy point of view. I don't even really think that, I don't know, the planning part might be able to elucidate it a little bit, but I don't think we've really thought about it as much as we are speaking about it tonight. I certainly think in the case of restaurants, I do recall it's primarily seats that we talk about, which I think would be more like numbers of students, but we also talk about parking date waivers and how many spots you need per one employee or three employees. So it's really both. And I guess that's what leads me to maybe just make the observation that I don't think that they're necessarily mutually exclusive. We could put in this, or the concern that we have here, and I think that everybody is trying to wrestle with, and we've tried to wrestle with in our previous orders, is the intensity of use. And so I think we should kind of try to come to an agreement on what intensity we think is right, is not substantially detrimental, and then adjust the either numbers of, we could say both. It should not exceed 11 per class or 12 vehicles. And I don't know how you measure the 12 vehicles. I think that the chair has a pretty strong point on that. I think it's hard to distinguish which car is there for Modern Bar and which car is there for a walk around the reservoir. And what if somebody leaves their car after the class and walks around the reservoir? Do they still count? But we could fashion both. I think it is clearly possible to, I think you have to have an honor system, I suppose, but the ISD could review the books and look at the appointment schedules and see how many people were in each class. I think that was what was actually envisioned in our previous order that we did pass. I mean, it basically says that there'll be a record kept. So I think that there's value in both measures, and I think that really we shouldn't be quibbling about which one. It's more what's the amount of each. And again, I think that my understanding of the goal of this particular petition is to try to not change the intensity from what we've already passed. Just it's to try to bring closure to this by getting the site improvements that we had wanted and I think everybody agreed were needed to get done. So I'll wait to hear more from the planning department at our next meeting. I'll be happy to listen to more comments, but that's my thoughts at this point.
Thank you. Councilor Baker, let's try to finish it up.
Thank you. I think it's tempting to try and fashion something that's relatively novel here, but I think it also, we have an existing special permit that was granted by the board, the council before, which was framed around a particular use category. And again, the standard is not substantially more detrimental to the neighborhood for a change in use. And this is part of why it's a non-conforming use. In a village center or something like that, you've got commercial properties surrounding it. The challenge here is that we're dealing with a non-conforming use in a residential zone. So I'm personally sympathetic to the view of the chair because I think that you've got a framework that the council worked very hard to get to last time, which was designed to get at what you were asking, which is what is the intensity, but it's a proxy. And the best, and again, we're trying to, I don't think there's any person in this room who is not sympathetic to the particular tenants that have both come forward this evening about their business value and the importance of their service. The question is how that particular business and how that particular service fits into this context as opposed to a commercial context. That's why this has been such a difficult issue. This was, all of these tenants could have located in a commercial area of the city and be welcome without any difficulty at all. So that's part of the challenge we're trying to craft, which is an order that fixes the future of the site as a non-conforming use, not necessarily for specific tenants.
Okay. All right. At this point, we've spent a considerable amount of time on this. We have more work to do on other matters, and we have a fair amount of work for Mr. Cronin and Ms. Young. Do you have any questions for us if you go ahead and do your crafting? All right. Seeing none, do I have a motion to hold the item? My word. So Councilor Cody, motion to hold. All in favor of hold, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. The item's held. We will take this up on January 10th. I've asked Ms. Kahn to post any drafts on the website. If you want to speak with Mr. Cronin directly about any proposed order, you're welcome to do so. Sorry to impose all that on you. And thank you all very much for coming out. And Ms. Benedict, if you'd be kind enough to arrange with Mr. Cronin some opportunity to talk over the next few days, that would be most helpful. Thank you. All right, folks. While everyone clears out, if you could get to the next petition, please. This is petition 391-16, petition for site plan approval at 37-39 Northgate Park, Ward 3. Who do I have for that petition? Come on up, please. Who's ever here for that one? Come on up, folks. We said in our calendar to be 7:30 or later. It's certainly after 7:30. Good evening. Thank you, Nadia.
You ready to go?
We're ready. Please, let's roll.
Peter Sass. I'm the architect for this project and representing John and Margaret Spence. The petition and special permit is to seek relief to expand a non-conforming use, which is a two-family and a single-family district. Otherwise, all the other, the FAR and everything else is conforming. My clients are here from Arizona, where they live part of the year, and this home is to be expanded for their ability to stay here part of the year to visit with their children. I had two letters of support. One of the efforts that we did was to put a package in everybody's mailbox in the neighborhood so that they could give me a call. Many of the buildings in this neighborhood are rental properties, and so I'm not quite sure that there are that many owners there. But two of the owners were kind enough to sign support petitions. One of the owners was directly next door as an abutter, and that is 33 Northgate Park, Patricia Ryder. And then across the street, Richard Bowen, 34 Northgate. I'm sure you all can read the plan, so I'll take any questions that you have.
Thank you, Mr. Sachs. Planning, do you want to give us a very brief overview?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As Mr. Sack said, this is a special permit to further increase a non-conforming two-family use. When reviewing this petition, the committee and city council should consider whether the proposed modification of an existing non-conforming two-family use in a single residence three district is not substantially more detrimental than the existing non-conforming two-family use.
Pretty straightforward. Okay. Before I take you, Councilor Cody, is there any member of the public who wishes to speak on this petition? All right. I'll leave the public hearing open for a moment. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just note to my colleagues here that the location of this house, we're well tuned into this neighborhood, and I've received no negative feedback at all on this project. So. Okay.
Councilor Crosley?
Thank you. I have only one question. The only thing that was not crystal clear on the site plan is if you're facing what is the front of the house, and I'm A, is that the current front of the house?
Yes.
It is, okay. Then on the one side yard where you're going all the way to 7.9 feet, it's not shown where the adjacent residential building is. So could you tell me what the setback between the two buildings is? You're 7.9 feet to the lot line, but are you...
Yeah, there's a driveway, double-wide driveway. As I'm looking at the front door, you mean the yellow building to the right?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know it was yellow, but yes, I do mean the building to the right.
Yeah, it would be double the side yard setback.
So it's at least 15 feet.
Yes.
Probably more. Okay, that's all I need to
know.
Awesome. Thank you.
Yep. Okay, anybody else? All right, motion to close the public hearing. Councilor Cody, motion to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Public hearing is closed. Our motion to approve. All right, motion to approve, draft board order. Simple finding. Any questions on this finding, folks? All right, seeing none, any special conditions here?
Standard conditions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, pretty straightforward. Nice for a change.
I kind of would like to have a bar class.
You should have made that joke earlier in the evening. You might have gotten more of a response. Now you're throwing me off. Anybody else, any comments? I have a motion to approve. All in favor of approval. 7 in favor, none opposed. You know the procedure. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Are we staying for working session tonight, or...
That was under a previous administration. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Next is petition 361-16, a special permit site plan approval to construct an addition at 642 Center Street. This is Lisa and Josh Schwartzberg. This is in Ward 1, and I will, before you begin, I'll just briefly note that I personally went to this site before they filed their special petition and spoke to the petitioners about the project generally. I always like to disclose that to the committee and the public. Go ahead.
Great, thank you. Hi, I'm Lisa Schwartzberg. I live at 642 Center Street. We purchased the home in 2012. I'm going to give you a 30-second background of why I'm here. We love our neighborhood. We're active in the community. I'm the president of the PTO. We truly just love being a part of our neighborhood. We have three young children and are building our roots here. Today, the reason I'm before you is that our home does not have an eat-in kitchen or a family room, and both of these are very important to us as a family. Sitting together and eating together and watching TV together are basics to our family and to our day-to-day life that we believe we are missing. Given that, we have looked at doing an addition to include these two items and to look to build the eat-in area, the kitchen and the family room, and also a corresponding upstairs to keep with the architecture of the design. Also, in keeping with the architecture and design of our home, we are proposing to invest in some extra brickway outside. It's a little bit of an incremental cost to us, but it is to keep in line with the architecture of the design of our home. We've spoken to all of our neighbors that abut us, as well as those across the street, and they are all unanimously supportive, and we would still comply with the setback regulations. Our current FAR is 0.38, the allowable is 0.39, so as you can see, we're right on top of it today. Our petition is to put our FAR at 0.50. I do know this is a little bit different than the paperwork. There's a little bit of discrepancy between the 0.49 that we submitted and the 0.50 from our surveyor, but we are petitioning at the 0.50. We have looked at moving, to be candid, but we're priced out of the market, and so we are looking to build this, to build our roots, as I said, and to establish the home that we're looking for. And I'm happy to address any questions that you have.
And I'll just add, I consulted with Mr. Cronin beforehand, and the change in from 0.49 to 0.40 is de minimis for public notice purposes, and so I checked, Mr. Cronin checked on that with Ms. Young, so we don't have to do anything. It's just essentially a clerical type error.
For that.
Okay. So let me just hold off, Councillor Crosley. I want to hear from Mr. Cronin first, briefly, from the Planning Department. And then, is there any member of the public who wants to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, then we'll get right to your comment, Councillor Crosley. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the petitioner stated, this is a special permit to increase the FAR or exceed the FAR. When reviewing this special permit, the council should consider whether the increase in FAR from 0.38 to 0.50, where 0.38 is the maximum allowed by right, is consistent with and not in derogation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood. And this is a quick aerial of the site. Towards the bottom of the screen is Newton Country Day and BC Law School for some reference. And this is the proposed site plan. The addition is right there on the bottom left of the screen. And these are the proposed elevations. So, as the petitioner stated, the addition is within the architecture of the main house. And answering questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Clausen?
Yes, thank you. So, I mean, on the positive side, this is it's designed very nicely. It does very well blend in with the architecture of the house, creating a very nice front elevation and so forth. I have to ask you, because you're asking for a lot of additional floor area over what's allowed by floor area ratio rule, and you're going from an almost 3,000 square foot house to an over 4,000 square foot house. And we don't care what you do with the interior of your home, but you did happen to mention that you don't have an eating area. I can't remember what you said, but basically I'm looking at a kitchen with a dining room right off it and a very large living room in the existing house, and what you've shown here is that you're adding a dining area and a family room, and I'm surprised, I guess, at, you know, the need for the doubling of the living area. So I'm just curious what's motivating this. The Planning Department did mention in their Planning Department report that, the large amount of floor area ratio that you're requesting.
Sure. So the way that our home is set up today is that we really have two areas of living space, which is our dining room and our living room. And so as a result, what happens is the flow of our family, which is three young children, is just in one very small area of the house. And so while we have nice square footage upstairs and in the basement, none of it truly is used, and it's really a first floor problem. So again, what we're looking to do is put an eating area directly off of the kitchen that flows into a family room, so that way we are equally distributing our traffic and use of our first floor.
Oh, okay. It's kind of a personal thing. It makes me wonder why we have floor area ratio rules at all.
Well,
so
I'll offer a comment, but go ahead, Councillor Cody. Do you want to say something? Councillor Schwartz?
I hate to pile on, but I had the same initial thought when I looked at this. I just, as Councillor Crosley, I guess the question that came to my mind is, and it wasn't, why do you need this? Because obviously that's personal. But why do we do FAR anyway? I mean, if we're giving this kind of relief because, you know, it's not maxed out on the lot lines and the setbacks, I don't know why we have FAR. I mean, this seems like a very large mass coming forward. You know, sometimes we say, oh, it's in the back, so it's not as visible. Sometimes we say, well, you know, it's blends. But this, unless I'm seeing this wrong, this really juts out. I mean, it's way in front of the, it's 20-something feet in front of the current front of the house. So it's a large amount of bulk, which I thought is what FAR was going for controlling. And
not on the top, it's not on the side, it's not in the back, it's actually in the front. So, I guess, if you need it and it doesn't, you know, go further forward than other houses on the street, but it seems like if it's that much above the FAR, there's something about it. I mean, that's one way of measuring the bulk, and that's what it also looks like. It looks bulky. So I don't know why we wouldn't say that's a little bit much.
I don't know if others been at the site or driven by the site. I mean, just as a reminder, this is a busy street. It's Center Street. I think if you look at the topography of the house, I don't find this to be of concern. I mean, I don't think this is creating this. To me, the idea of undue mass is FAR is measuring mass. Is this house sitting here and dwarfing the houses of other neighbors? Is it blocking the views? Is it doing any of those things? Is it seem disproportionate to the rest of the neighborhood? In my view, this proposal does not. Now, you know, it's obviously one person's view, but I'm comfortable with this. Councillor Crosley and then Cody.
Just from looking online and looking at the existing land use small-scale map here, this addition would be projecting quite a bit forward of what adjacent properties have. And I realize that you're conforming to the setback, but it is an unusual construction. When you look at the elevation, your architect has done a very nice job of blending the style and so forth. It is unusual, and I guess I'm going to even say at this point I'm going to abstain from voting this evening. If you decide to move this forward, I will make sure I get to the site and have a close look. Make sure that my concerns are not warranted. But it is not what we normally grant as relief when someone is suggesting they want to go over the FAR, and they're going to put the entire amount of the overage in the front yard. I haven't ever seen anything, a request like that, actually. Thank you.
Councilor Cody, and then Lennon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I basically concur with Chair's comments that it seems appropriate for that area. And I think we have to look at this in the context of when you do any kind of review on anything, is that FAR is just one piece of the pie, which is why we have this whole special permit process. If you go to the matrix of the memorandum, in here, what we consider to be important things to a project, setback, lot size, frontage, maximum lot coverage, open space, there's no issues with that when you go into all those things. We meet all of these requirements in the matrix of what we feel to be of concern when you're going to go forward with a project. So the fact that there's an FAR number which only goes up 0.1, it's not like an astronomical number, and it translates. It might be huge, but you know, I understand that that's just one little factor. It's like if you're considering almost any project in the world, and you have multiple factors. FAR is just one of them, and I think we have multiple others on this matrix that kind of tell you that this fits. And driving by there and looking at the place, you really don't see why it wouldn't fit. I mean, it doesn't. I think after about 6 months of it being completed, you wouldn't notice that it wasn't there before.
Okay, Councilor Lennon.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I sort of have some of the same concerns that Councilor Crosley had. It is a big ask, and usually when we're looking at, you know, sort of the one tool that we do have, we talk about FAR. If it's, you know, as she said better than I, like sometimes you can't see it from the streetscape, or the topography plays into it, and this is kind of coming out all the way to the front. Did you give any consideration, because when I originally looked at it, I thought it was more of an infill project rather than protruding out towards the street. So did you look at it at all in terms of trying to, like, turn your, I'm not trying to design this, but turn your addition so that it fit more in like an infill project, because if you did that, you have more of just a foyer you could add on to the kitchen and the dining room to make a family room living area. I'm just trying to understand if did you bring the design to planning and talk to them a little bit about, you know, what you had done, and they said this looks good, or did you try to do that? I'm just trying to understand how that played out a little bit.
Sure. We did do that. I did do a pre-meeting with the planning team. Part of the reason why we didn't do the infill T-side was that it was cost prohibitive because it ended up breaking down too many walls in order to accommodate the same thing, which was an even area and a family area. And so it really did come down to cost.
Go ahead, Councilor.
And so just to follow up, and again, that's on the infill piece. Did you try to look at, you know, the addition of more floor area towards the back, sort of off like the dining room, sunroom area, so that it would, you know?
We did. You can probably see this from the map, but our lot, our house is situated very far back on our lot,
right,
which means a very small backyard.
Right.
And so as a result, that was just a challenge. And to be candid, it didn't help the, what's driving us, which is we wanted an even kitchen, because what happens is your space then is added to the back and you're not close to your existing kitchen. And then relocating your kitchen is extremely expensive.
Yep.
So we did look at all those alternatives. We went through quite a few iterations with our contractor, but this is essentially where we ended up from a cost standpoint.
Great. Okay. I'm probably going to abstain this evening as well. I didn't have a chance to drive by here. I was familiar with the area, but didn't have a chance to drive by. So I'd like a chance to maybe, you know, take a drive by, take a look at it, and if we are going to hold it tonight, maybe I could touch base with the petitioner.
I don't want to put this on the full floor of the board if folks are not ready for it. I don't want to make petitioners come back here a second evening unnecessarily, however. What's the will of the committee? I'm hearing that there's going to be one abstention, potentially two, Councilor Schwartz, that's three. Pardon? You're fine, Councilor Harney?
Yeah, I mean, I know this area very well, driven by the millions of times. Someone who spent a lot of time at Newton Country Day School in Mount Alvernia over the years, and went to St. Sebastian's when it was up in that hill in Newton many years ago.
I'm old enough to remember that too, Councilor Harney.
I've driven the street many, many times. I know a lot of the houses around there, and I have no problem with it. I mean, we've approved, like, way more FAR. And it's in the eye of the over FAR.
I know this area incredibly well, too, and
I see no problem.
Like
FAR isn't the end-all, be-all, and if it looks good, then this looks pretty good to me. I mean,
Let me suggest this, colleagues, because I don't want to have us approve it here, have a big floor fight, have it sent back. For those who are considering abstention, where you have an opportunity to view the project between now and next Monday evening, at least do a drive-by. Would you be willing, if one or more of the counselors want to arrange a time to walk the site with you, would that be fine?
Of course.
Fine. You don't, but maybe Councilor Lennon wants to, if that's okay, not required, but just trying to help.
Of course, I'm going to have a coffee.
He won't accept, well, I wouldn't accept the coffee, he might. I'm just teasing you, President Lennon. Pardon? He'll get the Village Cafe getting his coffee first. I may never get this job again as a chair if I keep doing this. All kidding aside, I want to get back to the serious matters before us. Look, is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard? Right. Seeing none, I'd like to entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Councilor Auchincloss. Oh, I'm sorry, that was your motion to close the public hearing. Then I'd like to entertain a motion to approve subject to second call. And what I'm going to suggest to my colleagues who are abstaining is if by the time we get to the floor of the board, you still have some serious concerns and there's more than, say there's two of you at least, what I'm suggesting is we don't want to have a fight on the floor of the board about whether to approve this or not. That
often doesn't go well for a petitioner. I'd rather have us come back to committee, try to work through what the concerns are of the councilors and the land use committee, and then get it ready to go to the full board. If, on the other hand, they all do their site visits and they're fine with it, or maybe one disagrees, I'd like to try to get this approved as quickly as possible. Is that okay with you?
Yes, I'm fine.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I have a motion to close the public hearing. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 7 in favor, none opposed. Do I have a motion to approve? Motion to approve. Do I have a draft board order, Mr. Cronin? Could we get that up on the screen? Okay. Questions on the finding, singular? Okay. And the conditions are all standard, correct? Oh, I'm sorry. Sure, let's go back to the finding. I apologize. Okay, finding work, and the conditions are the standard ones. Yes, Ms. Young.
I think condition number 6 actually talks about annually replacing the plantings that become diseased or die.
All right,
we don't do that in a residential particularly.
We don't?
We don't generally.
Okay. Could you put it up, please? I think that we skipped.
Yeah, that's more for the commercial types of things. We have the landscaping, but we don't generally do annual inspections and reports.
We're not. Did you have another condition in there? Could you go to the next page? No.
Right. It's number 5.
Our landscape maintenance conditions, but you're saying it would not be an annual inspection.
Yeah.
Okay. So you understand the condition would be that you're expected to maintain the landscaping in good condition, but nobody from the city is going to be out there necessarily every year inspecting it.
Yes, I understand.
Okay. Okay. I have a motion to approve. All in favor of approval, subject to second call. I've got 4 in favor. Any opposed? Any abstentions? I have 3 abstentions. Okay. No need to come on Monday night, but you're welcome to, and frankly, if this is a close vote, you may want to be here in case people want to talk to you beforehand.
Okay.
Might be beneficial. Okay, if you have any questions, be sure to talk to the planning department or Ms. Kahn.
Thank
you very much. Okay, next, we are here for 389-16 Rebecca Miller for special permit site plan approval to construct an accessory apartment at 20 Matacomet Road. This is in Ward 5. Good evening, Ms. Miller.
Hi. Hi. I'm Rebecca Miller. I'm the owner of the 20 Matacomet Road. That's where I live. I'm here to request a special permit for an accessory apartment. My home in Wavin, it's a nice old Tudor. It was bought by my grandparents in 1950. My children are the 4th generation in the house. I hope that my family will stay in the house for generations. I'm recently divorced. I'm self-employed. I have 2 college-age teenagers. And I am hoping to rent an accessory apartment for some added income. I saved the house in the process of divorce. I bought it out from my former husband, and I feel very strongly about caring for the house. And I have a very good neighborhood. I love my neighbors, and I feel their support. The apartment is about 750 square feet. It's tucked into the back of the house. I had an existing renovated space. It's quite low impact in the neighborhood. It was once used as my office, that space. I have worked to turn it into an apartment by bringing it up to code. I have installed a bulkhead door and some larger windows, and I am fully confident that it will pass the
concessions, which will be coming up in the next few weeks. I've had a construction permit. You'd never know that the apartment is there. It's very much tucked into the back. You don't see it from the front. My driveway and my garage, there's a total of 6 parking spaces. I'm hoping to rent to doctors affiliated with the Newton Wellesley, which is very close by. My lot is it's over 12,200 square feet, so it's just under the 15,000. So I would get a by right permit if it was larger. I have spoken to many of my neighbors. I have 12 letters of support from neighbors, including those that are the direct abutters in the back and along the driveway and around the property. I'm happy to share all of these with you. I've given the originals to Nadia Khan, and so I think
she has them. She'll make sure we get them.
Record.
Okay.
I hope to live in my home for years to come. But I need the added income. And so I'm here to ask you to grant me a special permit for an accessory apartment.
Good, thank you. Planning, anything of particular note here that we need to focus on?
Nothing especially. It's a very similar request as to what Dorset was earlier today, just to establish an accessory apartment in a single-family dwelling on a lot with less than 15,000 square feet.
And the difference, of course, is an existing building is to be an interior apartment as opposed to an exterior, correct?
Correct. Most of the space is already there. They just are seeking to convert 2 studies into 2 bedrooms.
Okay. All right. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on this petition? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. When you're ready, do you want to close? Move to close. Move to close by Councilor Crosley. All in favor of closing the public hearing? Any 7 in favor, none opposed. Are there any comments or questions? Question? How about the question? Let's not debate accessory apartment ordinance tonight.
This is in my ward. I looked at it really carefully. I think it's very straightforward. The question is really a technical one, and just for everybody's edification, so you've already gone ahead and brought this space up to code so that it may be an apartment, and you've done all the work with the exception, I'm guessing, of putting in a stove. Because you can't put in a stove until you get the approval for the apartment.
I cannot rent it as an accessory apartment until I have a permit. I know that.
Right.
No stove.
Right. I just wanted to be clear about that because it's actually a question that's come up among our colleagues on a number of occasions and recently because we are debating the accessory apartment ordinance.
Yeah, I know the accessory department, the Zoning and Planning Committee will spend days dealing with that.
It's important for us to understand that, though, because we often ask questions in this committee I hear. We're not asking them tonight about why is it that, you know, you've already done the work and now you're coming to us for a unit. But the truth is this entire unit can be built by right as long as it doesn't have a stove today. It's just a point I think is worth acknowledging. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other Councilor Schwartz? All right. Anybody questions for petitioner? Motion to approve, Councilor Clausen? All right. Do we have a draft board order? Okay, any questions or comments from the first finding, folks? And 2 and 3, any questions there? Okay. Any other findings, Mr. Cohen? 2 more? Okay. 4 and 5, we good with those? Okay, any special conditions?
Just few conditions for accessory apartments.
And I'm sure you're aware of those, the annual certificate that you need to file, all that good stuff.
Of course.
Okay. All right. You have a motion to approve by Councilor Crosley. Anything else from that? All in favor of approval? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in favor, none opposed. This comes before the full council Monday evening. You're welcome to come, but there's really no need for you to be here. I certainly anticipate this being decided on first call. If it's approved, you then have to wait the requisite time period before you can go ahead and exercise. Ms. Khan or Mr. Cronin can give you any information you need on this, okay?
Thank you very much.
Good. Best of luck with your project.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, please, we have 390-16, a special permit to extend a non-conforming three-story structure in FAR 7 Manet Circle, David Morton. This is in Ward 7. And good evening, you are, sir?
My name is David Morton.
Okay.
I'm the architect for Candace and Jason right there. As it's no doubt clear in your memorandum, we are seeking relief for two items. Extension of a non-conforming condition, namely the fact that this building is considered three-story as opposed to the required 2.5. And we're looking for an increase in the FAR and a very minimal one. 0.35 is allowed, and we're proposing 0.356. So we're merely 77 feet over what's allowed.
Mm-hmm.
The reason we're seeking relief is that Jason and Candace bought this house about 8 years ago and have been living in it with their two boys, and they've simply outgrown it. At this point, we're looking to do essentially create spaces for adults because there aren't any in this house. The kitchen is small. The eating area isn't even big enough for their entire family. The dining room really can't be used as one because it's used for storage. And the living room, bless their hearts, is a Fisher-Price showroom for their kids' toys. So I think the items that we're seeking relief on are fairly minor in nature. And I just want to point out that if this same house were on a similarly shaped lot that was flat, these additions could both be built as of right. The basement would be considered a basement and not another story, and it wouldn't count against the FAR calculations. So I like to think these are minimal changes that we're proposing here. And these are both, this is all a function of the steep nature of this lot and how that affects the grade plane calculation. The house is a modest two-story structure, plain vanilla, garrison colonial. It's in the neighborhood. At 2,400 feet of living space on the first two floors, it's quite modest by Newton standards, and it will be even with the additions. I checked, and it is very small relative to other houses in the neighborhood. I have a list if you people are interested. And I can see from your face that this is pretty basic.
Wood. I know the area pretty well, so I think it's a fair level.
So I suppose the only other thing, I'm going to skip over a lot of these other things because I suspect you don't want to hear them. We do have a number of letters of support. They have probably largely been submitted to Nadia, so I have extra copies if you need them. And the last one is, we've spoken with a number of the abutters. One of them is here tonight, Mr. Fingert. One of the things he was concerned about was shadows on his building from our proposed additions, and I did a study to address that. One of the things that was in the memorandum that was issued was a request that we plant evergreen shrubs along the property line. to screen his view of our project. I suspect he's going to tell you that he would prefer not to have those because they will only exacerbate the shadow issue on the windows in his house that they primarily occupy. So, you know, I just want to mention that. So, I don't know what else I can tell you. I think this one's pretty basic.
That's helpful. Why don't we do this, since there's at least one gentleman who wants to speak for public comment. Why don't we take that public comment now, then we'll hear from the planning department, then we'll take comments. Sir, do you want to come up, please? Do you want to comment? Okay. Well, are you going to represent for the gentleman that he preferred not to have the evergreens? Is that an accurate statement?
You would prefer not to have them. Yes.
Okay. I'm doing that because I don't want to put something in a board order that's not what people want.
Okay.
All right. Mr. Cornyn, anything in particular we ought to know here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing in particular to note. Just as Mr. Morton said, the grade of this lot lends the basement to be considered a story, and therefore it's a three-story non-conforming structure.
Okay. Okay. Good. Okay. Any member of the public wish to be heard? Seeing none, I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. So moved by Councillor Auchincloss. All in favor of closing the public hearing? 7 in favor, none opposed. Do I have a motion to, do I have any questions or comments on this? Go ahead, Councillor Crosley.
I didn't, but when you talked about the abutter to the rear not wanting screening,
it's the abutter on the right.
The
on
side.
The right, okay. Is there an abutter to the rear?
There are several abutters at the bottom of the hill.
Pretty far away?
Far enough away that while the proposed addition in the rear would be visible in the wintertime, in the summer, they won't even see it because of the when the trees fill in.
Okay. Are the abutters to the rear satisfied with the design? And here's why I'm asking, so it's not a secret. When I look at the rear elevation, there's a tremendous amount of windows. So I'm just thinking of light trespass.
Well,
to the rear abutters.
My understanding is that everyone that they've spoken to have offered support.
Okay.
Nobody has offered any negative comment. And the only other thing I could tell you is that having done the preliminary design, there's a reasonable expectation that when I do the energy analysis, we're probably going to have to delete some of those windows.
I can't tell you that wasn't on my mind. But the back
okay,
of the building
I
right now
liberty
is looking like all glass. So, you know, when you have the exercise room up at the top, it makes me think about, you know, one of those studios that you look at people exercise in the windows. So, okay. I'm fine with that.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Councilor Schwartz?
It is a comment, so I apologize in advance. But the comment was made by the petitioner's representative that if it wasn't the grade, that it would be fine. Well, it is the grade, so I don't think that comment really brings a lot of light to this. And I think that what I would actually have argued is it's currently an existing three-number story, and you're actually just trying to extend that. It's already non-conforming.
That's correct.
According to the zoning memo. So I think that that's more compelling to me. I do think that the comment about the windows was one that I had also noticed that it seemed like there would be a lot of potential conflict if there was view from the back. So I support your idea to perhaps reduce the windows. But,
Yes.
This is just a consideration for the board order. So we're looking normally when we give a special permit, it's according to a fairly specific set of plans. So if you're going to dramatically modify the rear elevations, that won't be what we've given a special permit for. So I don't know if law wants to speak to the degree to which we can offer latitude there so that you're not coming back before.
So, maybe I can clarify. How much are you looking to change these plans?
The mapping wouldn't change. I'm not proposing to change the mapping at all.
Okay.
The shape of all the spaces would be just exactly as I've shown. As I said, the likelihood is that we would reduce some of the windows.
Okay.
At this point, I haven't done the energy calculations,
so
I don't know.
We just don't want you back here again.
I don't want to be back here.
So, Ms. Young, and forgive me, Councilor Crawford, but let me just try to get this right. If they reduce the number of windows, is that going to be something that we have to worry about in terms of consistency?
I think we can certainly make an allowance that we recognize that they may want to reduce the number of, is it the number of windows or the size of the windows? Either or.
I think we'll just have to reduce the amount of glass. So a direct answer to your question, I suppose I don't know.
Okay.
So is it sufficient that we, are you comfortable that if we have some record of that here, that if it's done, if there are some changes which reduce the amount of glass, that will be consistent?
First of all, I think it would be consistent because we are talking about it here, but I think you can also make some gentle statement in the conditions itself
that
recognize there might be a revision to the rear elevation to reduce the amount of glass.
Why don't we do that in the order so that if there's an issue with the building inspector in 6 months, you can point to a board order and explain the difference.
Yes.
I think that would be helpful. Thank you, Councilor Crawford, for that observation. Okay, anything else? No? Okay. Do I have a motion to approve? It's my words, I can't move it. Councilor Lennon, motion to approve. Do I have a draft board order? Any questions on the first two, folks? Councilor Schwartz?
It's really a question for the planning department. We often talk about the front, the view from the front, but is there ever any concern about the view from the side? I mean, obviously abutters would, and they're not represented right now, but you know, obviously we don't know who's going to live there in the future, but abutters might care that now there's some mass where there wasn't mass. There was an open deck, and now there's mass. So I know our findings seem to specifically speak about the view from the street, but do we not ever concern ourselves with the view from the side?
I think a lot of the time what we say is the effect on the streetscape, and which I think would include the side on the street. But I don't think we necessarily... I don't think we necessarily start up front, and I think it's more of how it looks on the street. So I think there's an argument there because you could be standing in, right in front of the house or to the side of the house. So I think it is a concern, but not as much as the front, because the front is usually more prominent and it speaks to the house's presence on the street.
I guess it just occurred to me that, you know, it seems like perhaps the ordinances, perhaps the zoning code does make a preference to how it looks to kind of to the public rather to the neighbors, which is kind of ironic, but seems to be that's the approach we seem to take when we're thinking about adding this map. I mean, I made the comment in the earlier, you know, it's in the front we care about it, but not so much in the back. But if you're living next door and all of a sudden you had windows maybe that were getting light and now there's not a deck there, there's mass, it's going to affect, he mentioned the shadowing study, you know, that would affect the neighbors, I think.
Well, I think now,
live there.
My sense is mass is going to, any addition to any property is going to affect what the neighbors see. The point I think here is that from the streetscape at least, it's going to present a similar visual, and that's the point of the finding I think we're addressing, I think. Mm-hmm. But it's a fair point that we don't take that into account, at least in the same way.
Right.
Okay. Anything else in 1 and 2? Okay, any other findings? Okay, any conditions? I think we ought to maybe add something to three that notes that we are comfortable with diminishing the amount of glass in the rear if there's some deviation from the plans. Can we add something like that? Does that work for everybody? Okay. I had a motion to approve by Councilor Lennon. All in favor of approval? 7 in favor, none opposed. This will go before the full council Monday night. There's no need for you to be here. If you have any questions about process, deal with Ms. Khan or Mr. Klein. Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Last is 441 Ward Street. This is a special permit to exceed FAR at 441 Ward Street. Yet here in Cheryl 11. This is in Ward 7. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. My name is Yatir Levine. My wife Cheryl and our three boys live at 441 Ward Street, where we've lived for the past 4.5 years. We are seeking to add a small addition to the house on the side. That is a garage and a small mudroom. The main motivation is just that having our cars out exposed during the winter makes it very cumbersome to clean them off and get to our places of work in the morning and our kids to school. The house doesn't currently have a garage.
All right. I was short at the point. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard? Seeing none, you're the last of the evening. Mr. Corner, you want to give us a quick overview here?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the petitioner stated, is a special permit to exceed the FAR to construct a 2-car attached garage. And when reviewing this request, the committee and council should consider whether the increase in FAR is consistent with and not in derogation of the size, scale, and design of other structures in the neighborhood. This is a zoomed-in aerial of the site. To the west is Boston College Law School and the Newton Day School. And this is the proposed site plan. The petitioners have an existing garage on Ballard Street, and they're looking to... I apologize, a driveway. And they're looking to construct the garage off the Ward Street frontage. As you can see, it is a corner lot.
Can we just, for point of clarity, I think the petitioners, I think in the memo it talks about institutes of religious education. I know the area really well. It's a house next door, right?
Correct, yes.
Used by the rabbi for one of the local synagogues?
Correct, yes, like exactly. That.
Okay. So just so we're all clear, folks, because I want to be accurate, this property is in a residential neighborhood, highly residential neighborhood. Temple Emanuel is a few houses up. But other than that, everything else around it is residential, even though it is owned by a religious institution. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Mr. Klein.
No problem, Mr. Chairman. And this would be the front elevation from Ward Street. As you can see, the garage is on the left, demarcated with a small mudroom connecting to the house. I'll be happy to answer any questions you have.
I take it if our new garage ordinance were in effect, there'd be a problem with this, would there not? Because it's in front of the rest of the house. Is that accurate?
Correct. The garage wall is in front of the main dwelling wall, which under the new garage ordinance would be not allowed unless there was a exception made by the Commissioner of Inspectional Services.
But just for the committee's edification, the lot line is diagonal here, and that's causing them to have to build closer to the front to enable them to have a garage. They don't have the luxury of going back 6 or 7 feet without being over the lot line and thereby trying to get a variance, which apparently would be very difficult to get in these circumstances.
But I must be mistaken, but Neil, isn't it true that if the width of the garage is significantly less than the width of the rest of the building, it's okay to be front of the front of the building?
That is
that was one of the original provisions.
That is something that's being considered. There was an item docketed that a garage, this is proposed language,
okay,
a garage may be front facing of the house as long as it does not exceed 40% of the total building facade.
I think the point is that the petitioners are aware that there's a garage ordinance out there that's being proposed that could impact your ability to construct this at a certain point in time. Right now, that ordinance is, my memory is not in effect. So, Councillor Crawford, go ahead.
Yeah, for the petitioner's sake, you should get your permit before April 1st at the moment.
Okay.
Have you consulted with the planning department on this issue?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Cronin, have you talked to them about the timing issues?
Yes, we've been in contact since, I would think, early or to mid-November.
Okay. All right. All right. So it's my ward. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard? There's a few members of the public left. I'll entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Moved by Councillor Crosley, all in favor of closure of the public hearing. 7 in favor, Mr. President. None opposed. Motion to approve. Alright, is there any questions or comments on this one for planning? Okay. Motion to approve. Alright, let's look at the findings, please. Okay. Okay, 1 and 2, any questions on the findings, folks? And you've talked to your neighbors, have you not, sir?
Yes, we have, and they're all supportive.
Good. Okay, anything on the findings, any conditions we need to be aware of? Okay. You understand the condition about both the tree ordinance and replacing the sidewalk, driveway apron, excuse me?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. What's this operations and maintenance plan condition?
The addition exceeds the 4% threshold by the city's engineering department of requiring a drainage analysis.
Okay. Fine.
The analysis hasn't been done yet, but in case a drainage system is required by the engineering division, it will need to be recorded at the Middlesex Registry of Deeds. The ownership of the petitioners will need to take ownership of the entire system.
Okay. Fine. Okay. Questions on the conditions, anyone? I see now we have a motion by Councillor Crosley to approve. All in favor? 7 in favor, none opposed. Good luck. We are going to take this up Monday night on what's our first call. You're welcome to come, but there's really no need. Assuming it gets approved, you then have to wait the statutory period. Ms. Kahn, Mr. Cronin will give you any information you need about what you need to do to exercise from there on. And do be mindful of the dates of
the Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Best of luck with your project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, last but not least, counselors, we have a bunch of auto dealer license renewals, one of our favorite topics. So I'll read them into the record. 410-16 Stan's Auto, 408-16 Sam's Auto, 404-16 Newton Center Shell Lane, 401-16 Lift Throttle Automotive LLC, 406-16 Old Time Garage LTD, 400-16 Auction Direct Pre-Owned, 402-16 MAP Development and Investments Doing Business Christian Tapia, 405-16 NTC Newton Trade Center, 409-16 Roberts Towing Inc., 403-16 Newton Auto Group Inc., 407-16 Reagan's Inc., 411-16 John Bortone doing business as Enzo's Auto Sales, 412 John and Catalina Bortone, and then two Class 2 and 3, 413-16 Echo Bridge Salvage Company, and 414-16 Savoni Brothers Inc. I think I've got all of those. The operative question is, have they all paid their taxes in this time?
They have not all paid their taxes in full. Sam's Auto Center has made a payment towards his taxes, and Newton Trade Center has made a payment towards their taxes.
I'm going to say, if Councillor Lennon?
I believe there was 411-16 and 412-16.
Yep.
had paid everything in full as of
paid
today?
Paid in full today.
And left you the receipts for everything on, with
it
you?
Did. Okay. That's correct.
All right. So what I'd suggest, because if we do not approve, if we're going to vote to deny something, we have to hold a public hearing. What I would suggest is for the two that have not paid their taxes, that we entertain a motion to hold the items, give them an opportunity to pay their taxes in the next few weeks, hopefully by year end, and then we can take them up in January and deal with them routinely. So, any questions? Do I have a motion to approve all but the two that have not paid their taxes? Councilor Crosley, all in favor? 7 in favor, none opposed. For those two that have not paid their taxes, do I have a motion to hold? Motion to hold, all in favor, hold. 7 in favor, none opposed. That's it. We're adjourned. I told you 10 o'clock. Okay, thank you all for your patience.